Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Raw and Main Event Super Show.
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
With the Mario Brothers and Plumbing's a game, we're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers. So hang on to your seat, get ready for adventure and remarkable feats. You'll meet Koopas and Troopas, the princess and the others. Hanging with the plumbers, you'll be hooked on the brothers. To the bridge.
Good night, everyone. I don't know where to go from here. Are we done? All right, I've killed my co-host, Satish Ram, clearly. He's died from the awesome. Hello, everyone. I'm Matt Marrero. This is Those Guys. And today we're doing a Raw and Main Event Super Show because we were unable to do Monday Night Raw last night because I was unable to see your Monday Night Raw last night. Sadly, I missed a very mediocre Raw. And
why is it sad?
Yeah, I know.
That's the joke.
But yeah.
Damn. Caught again.
Yes. Damn it. Oh, damn. Went right over my head this time. Anyway, so, yeah. Here we are, though. Let's go. Let's fight the John Cena. No, but, it's sad.
They
I tried to sound
dogs.
Like Mario. I tried to sound like Mario, but I turned into some weird hybrid between Italy from Italia and Santino.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're doing Monday Night Raw and Main Event when it's needed because, I mean, wasn't a very, it didn't really stick out, but, I mean, there were a few things that really brought up my nerd rage or my wrestling nerd rage. So, but we'll get into that when we get to it. Let's start off with Monday Night Raw, shall we? So, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman. How
Bork
do you
Laser
feel about that,
Mr. Bork Laser and the Jew brought the rhymes, yo.
What if they start touring with that name?
Bork Laser and the Jew?
Yes.
We coming for you! Wait, and then...
Yeah, no, that could work. I'm down with this.
Basically. It was very interesting because here's the thing. Paul Heyman didn't rap. Like, you told me he rapped. He didn't rap. He was, however, part of the WWE Poetry Slam, which is a spinoff of Punk's Grammar Slam and WWE's Saturday Morning Slam.
Yeah, I believe
that's
that.
That's what Heyman did.
They're all
did.
Brother and sister productions.
Basically, yes. That's what Heyman did. I'll give you that. But either way, though, even before the rap, I personally believe that Heyman did such an amazing job. And obviously he always does, but I don't know if you know this. Recently he said something along the lines of he believes every single time he goes out there, he considers it like an audition, right? He believes that he has to try his hardest even to do even better than he did before. And I've really been seeing that lately. Sadly, I felt a bit off with, you know, Cesaro, but I think that's more backstage because I don't know if you also know, but Paul Heyman does not do as much as, you know, with creative compared to what he used to do. So he actually does not have control. I'm sure he has some sway, but he does not have full control like he used to. Like, I personally feel as if he had control, maybe Cesaro would have been a bit different than it was. So he can only work with what they were giving him. But now, you throw Lesnar at him, a guy who's going for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, against a man who has a target on his back, not because he's the champion, but because he's John Cena. I don't think there's one person in the WWE right now that couldn't think of something funny to use to make fun of him for. So basically, like, they just said, hey, Heyman, go nuts with, you know, here. Because what are they, like, what can't he say about Cena?
The only thing that I guess is almost bad is that rapper Cena is so far, like, back that,
yes,
you know, ignoring the fact that he brought it up with The Rock again, you know? I want people to remember, and I want WWE to remember, you yourself have gotten rid of this rapper character. You know, you
yes,
killed
no.
that off. You got rid of the bug from West Newbury, Massachusetts, yo. So when the people like The Rock and Heyman, good as they may be in the promo when they bring them up, bring it
right.
up. It
right.
is kind of weird for me to sit there and think, like, guys, you're making them do this, and we love it because we know about Cena. But in the last
yeah.
few years, that's not Cena anymore. So it's kind of – it's weird. Where, like, you know,
well,
I feel like Cena could even in his promo have basically been like, that's not me. And it would have been
yeah.
like a damn. Good point, John. That
well,
is
yeah.
you. This is
it's
you
interesting.
Now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I felt weird when, what is it, when The Rock did it, because I wasn't there for The Rock, but hearing The Rock do it, yeah, because The Rock wasn't really around during Cena's rise, meteoric rise, it's, you know, with that rapper role. Triple H and Paul Heyman, it feels dated, but they were there, so I'm kind of okay with it. Though I will admit, it does seem to literally have popped up out of nowhere. Where
mm-hmm.
it'd be as if yeah, Ryback, remember when you were part of the Nexus? Shh, what are you guys doing? You know, it's
yeah,
like we've
just imagine
we've
like,
gotten
rid like,
of
imagine,
that.
Like Miz is cutting a promo on Dolph Ziggler, and suddenly
yeah.
it's like, what is this Spirit Squad reject going to be fighting me for? No, 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 Miz, you can't, no, no, Miz,
exactly.
you can't do that.
And it's not that that big of a you know big of a change, but it was. I would argue it also wasn't a fine tweak. Like, it wasn't, like, such a tiny tweak. Like, no, they literally said, Mr. Cena, please lay on the table, get the scissors, please place your balls on the table.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it wasn't crazy where it's like, now your name is Juan Cena. See, we changed that. No, but it was big enough to say, like, all right, we've successfully made the operation. John, let's see how John felt before. Yeah, you can't see me, bitch. How do you feel now, John? I love children. All right, that may be a weird transition, but we'll work on it.
I feel like, and this may be not the best analogy, but I feel like it's one of those Randy Orton changes where, like, we look at the Randy Orton we have now and you go back to, like, the Legend Killer. Like, if you cut a promo on Randy Orton now, right, you wouldn't start
right.
addressing him as the Legend Killer and start going off on that because that's just not his character anymore. He's still Randy Orton, but he's not the Legend
no.
Killer anymore. So with Cena, you want to rap and make fun of him, and indeed it worked. But it's also weird because he's not rapper Cena anymore. And that's not...
Yes.
particularly Heyman's fault. That's more so WWE's fault, because I assume the direction is, yeah, let's make fun of Cena. And there's certain things he's not allowed to say, I'm 90% sure. So
yeah.
it's a matter of, like, he's limited to making this entertaining, and he has to go back to the rapper stuff. And it works. It does work. It's
because
just,
where else would he go? You know what I mean? Like,
right, that's the
like,
thing. Where
yeah.
else was he going to go with that?
Exactly.
And I'm glad
could
he
I make
made
fun
it work.
Of, yeah. Could I make fun of his ex-wife? Like, they're just looking at
yeah.
him. He's like, okay, so scratch that off the list. So can I... You
can
know,
I make fun
of can
his
I make
current
fun of
girlfriend?
His, yes. Okay, let's scratch that off the list. Could I make fun of his hair? Oh, come on, really? Just the looks intensifies. Well, you know what I mean? Like, all right, like, I'll... But, I mean...
Could I make fun of
you,
his jorts? Not anymore.
Fuck! What I would say is this much. I think the only reason why it is also okay, because... if you have the network, which I think I've heard it's $9.99, if you have the network, you could see older Cena stuff, not really his SmackDowns, but as obviously his pay-per-views. You can also see the specials that they're putting out with him and Brock Lesnar throughout the years, not acting as if, you know, this is the first time they've ever fought, which is nice, right? Isn't that nice?
No,
it's like,
not.
Hey, look, these guys have fought before.
No, it's not. Because if you remember correctly, one of my prime recent examples of wanting to kill John Cena was because of his Superman act after the Brock Lesnar match, where Brock was supposed to have supposedly dismantled him.
Right.
And then he was just like, nah, I'm going to be okay.
That sounds legit. That sounds like, because you can't hurt
John Cena. It sounds like
Cena
legit.
You can't, but you can't hurt John Cena. Like, why do you assume that... Like, John Cena can never be beaten. Like, look at the Undertaker's streak. Aw, shit. Well, we may have a... No, but seriously, though.
By the way, and on that, by the way, I need
yes.
to bring
yes.
something up that
okay.
Maddie showed me last night, a tweet from Cageside, that
mm-hmm.
basically said that there are advertisements. I can never say that word right. But there are ads
advertisements.
Out. There
right.
are ads out. That are basically advertising, aha, got that
yes.
one right, Seth Rollins versus John Cena for the WWE title in the Quad Cities on September 29th.
Well,
the card
the
is subject
why...
to change, but it was also advertised for a Canadian house show.
It's weird because I've also seen some huge – okay, I've also heard of some huge Brock Lesnar posters in Las Vegas, referring to some shows happening after SummerSlam as well. So, like, even if he did lose at SummerSlam, he wouldn't return, I feel, because they're dates. You know what I mean? Like, if they're using dates, damn it, you know, Brock is going to win, I would imagine. You know,
mm-hmm.
Even if Cena picks up the win later, I assume Brock would pick up the win, you know? I feel like cards are subject to change because, I mean, hell, I know it was because of injury, but I didn't see Daniel Bryan at Madison Square Garden, you know? I assume months in advance, you know, they weren't thinking, yep, John Cena will fight Bray Wyatt at a house show for the WWE World Heavyweight title, but that's the main event we saw, you know? So, I mean, was it? Isn't the Shield? Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. The Shield is currently in WWE 2K15.
I believe they should be.
Now, if you don't call, you know, but wait a minute, but I thought they planned. They didn't plan. They didn't plan, everyone. So, yeah, that's
another
the thing.
Story
so,
on things that irk me, but.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, I mean, honestly, like, we could easily, the day of SummerSlam here, Cena should probably win. But what about our network subscriptions? So we're going to make that guy lose horribly. Where's your fake blood packets? Like, just throw them at Cena's face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, I feel. That would be upsetting. That's scary. I'm happy. You know, and of course, you know, thank you, Maddie, for bringing that up, because that's a great topic for discussion. But, oh, dear God. But I assume it won't happen. And if
there
it does,
there is no justifiable way to say that John should be winning this match.
No. Here's the only reason why I would say he should win, but if they went that route. They could go that route if they jumped up to about 3 million subscribers. Because at that point, then it's okay
not
if you
even
lose
then.
Half of them. Hear
that's
me out.
Saying,
it's okay if you lose half of them. Because they've already, even if they lose half of them, they're up to their, what they want to be at, 1.5. And then when I assume Lesnar would win at Night of Champions, then it goes back up to at least 2 million. So they can do that. But right now they aren't in a position to lose half of their subscribers. So I'm pretty sure that what they need to do is they need to just, you know, kind of keep the, keep that subscriber number up, I would say.
Yeah, I guess I'm starting to think about the longevity of the WWE Network. I mean, you look at something like Netflix, right? There's always new TV coming out, and I mean not just one episode of it. There's a lot of new TV, new movies coming out, right? So Netflix is forever going to be a service that has value. The WWE Network, for a good chunk of their people, a lot of people are going to go through the pay-per-views that they want, and then they're going to lose interest in it. And while you can, I guess, expect them to stick around for a little while, if the current product starts sucking for a while, which it has kind of sucked for a little while,
yes,
it's going to be weird because, like, if the new stuff coming up is the crap you already saw and hated, it's hard to make an argument, you know. And, oh, yeah, it's just weird because I don't think it's going to happen as quickly as I think it is. But it's certainly something to worry about, in my opinion, you know, in terms
the
product of today is going to be what keeps people in the future because that will be the stuff they'll want to look back at. And,
yes.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, that's why what they need to do, especially, is they need to, you know, start to, what they need to do is they need to think, basically, okay, not, be serious, like, if they made a poll right now, and they said, who do you want to win at SummerSlam, John Cena or Brock Lesnar, this will totally not affect the outcome, wrestling is real, right, just as a parenthesis, just in case you're wondering, and I think most of the audience would pick John Cena because obviously, you know, the wrestling audience, I think, would pick John Cena. Not like you and I or people like us, but, you know, children who are actually on WWE.com would pick John Cena. But what they need to realize is that's not the poll question. The question is from whoever, you know, if you have the WWE Network, hell, log in with your account and that's how you can vote, right? Who do you want to win?
That would be the thing. Because then you're going to see a predominant, like, 97-3% Lesnar thing.
Exactly. And then you go, okay, that's what – because that's the thing. There was a time when, strangely enough, they didn't have to listen to their fans. They really didn't because their fans listened to them. Now things are changing. Things are flipping. And we're – you know, it's their fault because they gave us the network. They could have. I mean, I don't know how it would have been, you know, how the alternate side would have been, but, you know, maybe they could have kept on making money with pay-per-views. Maybe they still would have been, you know, the same way they are, you know, whatever. But jumping into this, they need to know. They can't just tell us, you're going to like this. Now it's like, oh, God, please like this. Please. I mean, you know, look at Cena. Look, his arm is broken. Like, he's legitimately broken. He can't wrestle for 3 months. Buy the network, please. You know? And some people will be like, yep, sold.
Yep.
You know? Like, and of course, we don't want John Cena to break his arm. However, you know, but the thing is that we still feel as if, yeah, like, you know, he cannot win this. Because if he wins this, we're not resubscribing. And that's, you know, I know we always say, oh, we're not going to watch anymore. Oh, we're not going to watch anymore. This makes me not want to watch. There's a difference between us not watching live on television versus us not subscribing to the network. You know, there's a huge difference. So, oops, too bad. You just lost half of your subscribers. Because that's the thing. They might be thinking, oh, yeah, we released this internationally. Now our subscribers are going up. But again, unless they're up to 3 million already, which I highly doubt, they need to be careful. Because they'll get a cut, and they'll get up to 3 million, and then all of a sudden, you know, with SummerSlam, they'll go right back down to where they were before going international. And then, when they're like, hey, the plan was to make Brock win at Night of Champions, so you guys would want to resubscribe again. No, because now people think, should we trust them?
Right.
You know? Not everyone, but there will be an amount, which, yeah, will be a chunk of your, you know, of the people trying to put money in going, should we still trust them? Because all they care about is subscriptions, which obviously, yes, all they care about. But no, they care about it in a way that they will not make a shitty product or they won't care about a product until that one pay-per-view, whatever it may be, where the subscription is up. And then Brock Lesnar wins. Daniel Bryan wins the tag team championships by himself. You know, Sheamus dies. Crazy stuff that makes people go, yeah, I want to see that. And then they make you subscribe.
The subscriber number thing is going to be really interesting to watch over the next few months. Because
it will.
We're about halfway through, not their year, but halfway through like 2014. You know, we're in August now. And, you know, that means there are still, with SummerSlam coming up, and that'll leave Survivor Series. We've got two of the big four pay-per-views still to go in this physical year, not the WWE calendar year of WrestleMania, but, you know, our physical 2014. And the next 6 months of said, you know, real life are going to be up in the air because SummerSlam is going to determine if a lot of people re-up. And if the re-upping is the same as it used to be, that means it's a six-month commitment. So what happens now? You've still got this pay-per-view and maybe one other to convince a lot of your fans because even let's say we stick on just because of the fact that Lesnar wins at this pay-per-view, right?
Yeah.
What happens from here? Like, if it's trash for the next 6 months, do we then, like, you know, the next 6 months takes us to about February, if I'm doing my math right, right?
Right.
So that gives us the Royal Rumble, which means, you know, that's one last chance. If the Royal Rumble sucks, is that going to be enough? It's a lot of things that are cutting it close for me. Because WWE is now cutting it where I get the feeling, knowing them, that we're going to be coming around Royal Rumble time and talking about Royal Rumble the same way we're talking about SummerSlam, where we sit here and think, you know, if X happens, maybe we'll stay. And if it doesn't, we're probably out. And we're not the only ones feeling that way, you and I.
No. And, well, sadly, there are some that just think no matter what, they just want to make the good investment, which is Rumble till whenever. But, I mean, hey, you know, for those people, they are moving towards that plan where they're doing, you know, you can just buy $14 for just the month, which I do, or $20 for some places. I do think it's genius. But, yes, they're going to, you know, before we move on, yes, they're going to have to really think. I mean, in a smart world, they just try to make every month count, right? But in their world, they have to make not only the pay-per-view right before the subscription count, like right after the subscription, but the pay-per-view right before. Meaning, they can't, okay, so we can't have Lesnar win at Night of Champions because he loses at SummerSlam, right? Nor can we have Lesnar, you know, lose at Night of Champions either and win at SummerSlam. Like, they have to make both count. Because, honestly, like, yeah, if Lesnar lost at SummerSlam and won at Night of Champions, that still would make me feel wary, you know? And it wouldn't, because sadly, I mean, I will admit, we can be stupid, but we're not as stupid as we used to be. You know, and that's the thing. Where wrestling fans used to be like, you know, it's like, we will feed you Hulk Hogan. Well, of course, that's all we ever want in our lives. Good, good. Where
right.
Now it's just, we will feed you Hulk Hogan. Maybe if you have special guests, right? But if this was just Hogan, like, it was like, oh, hey, look, it's Hogan again. Nope. Would not have been a draw. Hogan's birthday party, though, that's a draw because of how many, you know, things that could happen somewhere in there.
Right.
I mean, there were probably some people thinking, like, the second that Brock came out, or that they heard Brock came out, they probably turned it on to see if Brock was going to murder Hogan. Like, that was probably a draw. Where it's just, wait a minute, did you say Brock Lesnar's coming out? Well, thank you for texting me that. I'm going to change the channel right now, and let's see what happens here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Being on Twitter last night with a few of my baseball friends, a
right.
lot of them, you know, asked me, is Lesnar going to physically be on Raw tonight? And I was like, yeah, he's going to be there. And immediately they were like, you know, I think I'll watch Raw tonight. And I laughed because, of course, you know, and in my head, I know that Hogan is in, like, such a bad condition that he's basically, like, built of Lego blocks. That, like, F5ing him could completely, like, break him apart.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me, you know, so we know, you and I at least, and most of the people that we talk to in terms of our close circle, like Maddie, know that Hulk Hogan could not take an F5 bump.
But there are still some people that believe it, though, which is weird.
That's the thing. There are people who are outside of the IWC in terms of the ones who aren't as involved in it as we are, slash the ones who just, you know, aren't part of this internet community of wrestling
right.
fans, who will
right.
sit there and think, you know, they've done stuff to older people before.
And
they don't
know
about Hogan's personal life. And you think, you know what? Hogan might get a five tonight. And that would be really cool.
It's like, you misunderstand. Old people... You know, there's a difference between old people and Hulk Hogan. Like,
yeah, like,
you know,
Hogan
like,
couldn't handle an F1. An F5 is actually
no.
much, much too much.
No, oh, yeah. No, like, because I think even, like, you look at, let's say, you look at Roddy Piper, right? And in 2006, see, 2006 was an amazing year. Because 2006, 2007, think about it. Around that time, right, these legends were old, but they were old. They weren't that old. They were old enough where it's like, okay, so you're not going to wrestle full-time. If you say you want to, we're going to slap you. However, you can take RKOs. You know, you can take this. You can take that. You know what I mean? Like Hulk Hogan, you know, punch people that, you know, are not supposed to be terrorists, but WWE doesn't care. You know what I mean? Post, punch everyone who is not American, Hogan. It's 2006. No one cares, right? Now, though, it's a bit different, where it's just, you know, Hulk Hogan, he can't really do a lot. Like, even a punch from him would probably, like, hurt his elbow. So,
that sucks, doesn't it?
It does. And also, they wouldn't look good. It'd be terrible. So we can't have, like even, like, basically, okay, other than Kevin Nash, I personally believe, no one there could have taken an F5. No one. But that's just
mm-hmm.
me. You know, so that's the thing. So, but again, you know, people at home are just like, yeah, F5 Mean Gene, because things, because reasons. So, either way. But getting back to that, you know, beginning segment where Lesnar and Heyman pretty much tore the house down. I want to mention about Heyman. What I love about him, right, is the fact that he was making excuses for Brock, but he really wasn't because of Brock's actual disease that he has. You know, the whole, oh, well, Brock was only at 50%. Now he's at 100%. And you want to say it's an excuse, but what I like is how they blur the line so well, where it's like, oh, you know, someone might go, that's an excuse. Well, I mean, actually, in a way,
yeah, I'm not saying, like,
but it's real.
It would be unwise to assume that even the casual wrestling fan doesn't have access to Google. You know,
exactly,
and
which is so nice.
If Heyman's talking shit, if you're really into it, you're going to sit there and think, man, did Brock Heyman, did Brock Lesnar really have some kind of issue? And you type it up, and you're like, Brock Lesnar has a disease of the stomach. Oh.
Exactly.
What? I didn't.
Yep.
I really want to find someone who's still marking out today, by the way. I want to find the mark, befriend them, and just crush their dreams.
Basically. You know,
like, I
want
to,
like,
walk up to him and be like, yeah, John Cena has a small penis from all the steroids that he's taken because he's a cheater. And just wait for the reaction. Just
Sheamus
wait.
Is American. Just confuse them. Sheamus is American, didn't you know? Like, that's an accent. That's just an accent. Like backstage, Sheamus is like, hello, sir. Hello, American. Hello, fellow American. But it's like, Sheamus, do your accent. Hey, fella. Like, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh, God, that would be horrible.
And
I'm
just
thinking.
Yeah. Just everything. Just, did you know that Yoshitatsu was actually Mexican? Just, they look at you and they're like, you know what? He kind of looked Mexican.
I'm really thinking about it now. And I need to, I need to look this up.
Right.
Sheamus isn't actually American, though.
No, that was a joke.
Oh,
okay,
that's
good.
The joke. That's
I
the joke.
I need to make sure, because for a second, dude, you can't blame me to think the WWE wouldn't do something
like take
a guy who looks like Sheamus and think, you know what, you are so goddamn white, let's bleach your skin, make you whiter, and
that's
then
like
racist,
that-
and like...
That's like saying that a Canadian guy is Italian. Like, who would do that? But anyway, so like I was saying, getting back to what I was saying. Okay, one thing that I really enjoyed, right? They kept on saying, "Oh, John's going to die. John's going. He'll never come back," right? But here's the thing. That wasn't my favorite part. My favorite part is even if Cena loses, he doesn't look bad. And I know it's silly. It's like, well, you know, it's John Cena. He never looks bad. No, but yeah, if he loses, you know, the thought is always, oh, God, he'll look bad. No, if John Cena gets a beat down from Brock, right, I'm talking about, like, full blood and everything, so long as John, it's like the whole Jeff Hardy Undertaker thing you mentioned to me, so long as John stands up and walks, not runs, not backflips, no cartwheels, John gets up in his pool of blood and he walks out, maybe even puts a fist up slightly, you know, before the fist and the arm collapses off of his body. And he says, I'm alive. And then walks out. So long as that can happen. Yeah, like, you know, so long as that happens, then it's like, okay, good. You can, because that's what John can say on Monday. You know, John can be in his wheelchair, and he can say, you know, with the whole neck brace and everything, I'm alive. I'm here. Don't, you know, forget the fact that, you know, when it cut to commercial, they kind of picked the wheelchair up and put it in the ring because I couldn't physically walk. But I'm here.
Speaking of cutting to commercial and holding things out, by the way, that randomly made me think of Dean Ambrose. Do you think he was there in the beginning of the show? Do you think he heard the Heyman promo from inside that box? I know that he didn't, but I want to believe that he did. You know what I mean?
Here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to say, okay? First off, I knew someone was in there. I just didn't know who. I have to be honest. I for some reason, my mind thought Sheamus. Don't ask why. Either Sheamus or Alberto Del Rio, and I don't know why.
It
would have
been the funniest thing if it was Sheamus.
Yes.
Because, like, it would be the greatest red herring type of thing. Because he'd break out of the box, and Rollins would be like, what the fuck are you doing here? From the rafters? It's Dean Ambrose? Do you remember in WWE 13, the storyline thing, where you could have someone drop from the Titantron?
Oh, that's right, yes, do an elbow
literally,
drop.
Literally, all I'm thinking
Titantron,
of is, like, you know, Rollins is walking, he sees Sheamus, he's like, what the hell are you doing there? All of a sudden, Titantron, that's Dean Ambrose! He falls down on him and starts beating him down.
All I can imagine is just, you know, just, it's like, Rollins is like, oh, God, like, Ambrose is going to be in here. Turns around, oh, it's nothing. You know, Sheamus pops out, just starts beating up Rollins. All of a sudden, Michael Cole, oh, my God, Russo crazy! That, if anyone doesn't know, that is a joke that Mr. Ram made to me, referring to not Uso crazy, but actually Vince Russo crazy. Because, hey, he needs a job now, and WWE employs stupid people.
Based on the fact that we had a Daniel Bryan infidelity angle, I think we know where Russo ended up.
God, that's actually terrible. I didn't even think about that. Oh, dear. Oh, my.
You know what's going to happen?
Oh, God.
In 5 years, we're going to find out that trainer actually did have an affair with Daniel Bryan, and they had a kid. And that kid is going to wrestle.
Hornswoggle?
God, that would be some kind of horrid time warp thing.
With a giant beard, by the way. Hornswoggle, it's just like, that's not Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle,
like, I'm pretty sure that is
McMahon's son, right?
Yeah. Well, I thought that was an actual... Was that not an actual storyline, or are you saying that didn't happen? I'm pretty sure that actually happened.
No, I think it did happen, but I'm just saying, they ran so many stupid angles.
Oh, that's
with
why...
With Hornswoggle.
We're going to get back to the present, but I want to say this. Overall, the problem is that WWE never thinks about its future.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's why I think something like, okay, Upon further inspection, I am cool with Biker Taker. However, and of course Biker Taker came from Mark Calloway, so it's not the worst thing in the world. However, they never thought, Mark, maybe one day we'll want you to be this guy again. Are you sure? You know, like, maybe one day you'll, like, the Supernatural thing was huge for years. So we're just going to, like, we're not even going to change anything about you. Just you're the American Badass. Like, you're just the Undertaker. Like, we're not going to change anything. You're just going to come back as Undertaker and be a biker. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they never thought about that. So now it's on the network forever, and it looks really out of place.
Yeah.
Which is like, Undertaker is completely supernatural, and he's undead. Also, do you know Sons of Anarchy? Like, it's like, oh, it's like, oh, well, you know, did you know that Undertaker is Sons of Anarchy? No way. Like, it's just, it's so out of place. It's like they never really think about the future. They just think about the present. And so I will admit, they do think about where their food might be coming from. You know, they think about, okay, we need to be paid. Like, for, you know, we need to last as a company. But they never think of where they're really headed. That's the whole Punk idea, too, where we heard from Punk, where it's just, you know, and I will admit, it was a bit too much from him. But it's the idea of, if we're nearing towards WrestleMania 30, we shouldn't be thinking about WrestleMania 30. We should be thinking about WrestleMania 31.
Right.
Yeah. Again, a bit too much in advance, I feel. But I understand the idea because it makes sense. Why are you fretting so much about WrestleMania 30? That card should be set in stone. But anyway. So, yeah. So, hopefully, John does lose, but it comes in the fact that, you know, he loses, but at the same time, he can still get up and not, you know, be Superman. And that means that, hey, we can, you know, like, keep this going, because obviously they're going to keep it going. I mean, John has a rematch clause. But I think it would be terrible if, because the thing is, if John wins, there's no reason why Lesnar has to go at him again. So we've just used and lost Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll say. But
yeah,
hey,
just,
I mean,
for me, like, working off that September 29th thing, right? I mean, if that's factual.
Oh, right.
We
yeah.
have, if that's factual, we then have Lesnar either losing at SummerSlam or losing at Night of Champions, neither of which are acceptable scenarios.
No. Though I will say this much. If they do make... Well, you know what's weird, though? They can't have Lesnar lose at Night of Champions because, unless it's a triple threat, because to Roman Reigns. And as silly as it sounds, it can't be something like, oh, John wins it again, because now John has 16 championships.
Correct.
They're getting really close to that number where it's like, John, you might as well retire because right now you're working on the card with Diego. Like, you have, you know, where it's like, John, you cannot,
right?
Yes. They said 12 at one point, but now he's back to 15. I don't know who's playing. I don't know who's playing that game with them. I don't know what
I
they're doing, but he's still at 15.
It may be 12 WWE title reigns and, like,
I guess
three
so.
World heavyweight
yeah.
title reigns. Because he's
must
always
be it,
been, like, you know, the Yeah, if I had to guess, that's his 12th WWE title reign, because now
right.
that's the WWE title, and that he's got his, like, you know, like three World Heavyweight title reigns.
Right, I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, I assume that's it. Maddie, I know you're listening, so if you could check that, that'd be awesome.
Yes. Also, by the way, before we move on, I want to, you know, to the next thing, I want to say a few things. First off, Heyman is so good, right, that people cannot even boo him when he's saying shit about Hulk Hogan. They didn't cheer him, but there was, like, a silence, and it really only, you know, and some cheers, and it only took him to say stuff like, oh, yeah, you servants, you know, the crowd is our servants, to make them go, wait a minute, I just remembered, screw this guy. Like, they had to remember, wait a minute,
we don't like you.
Yeah, but it took a while, because they were like, yeah, so we're going to have to, maybe later we're going to bust up Hogan's party. Either some cheers or some, I do not feel strongly one way or the other. And it was just, damn it, guys, you're a crowd. Like, do what you're told. That's what I think WWE thinks.
Do what you're
like,
told.
That's what, I feel like that's what WWE thinks sometimes, which, you
and
know,
kudos
again.
Kudos to Portland, by the way, for not pulling the CM Punk chance thing against AJ.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say that
I
much.
I think they're getting better. I think they're getting better with that. I remember seeing Main Event in SmackDown, and I believe there were very little to no CM Punk chance. There were some here as
correct,
well, but very little.
Apparently, mm-hmm. John has 12 WWE title reigns, 3 World Heavyweight Champions reigns, and one of the 12 WWE title reigns is the current unified one he has right now.
Right. So,
that's
yes,
ridiculous.
15,
thank you, Maddie. That's ridiculous.
He can't. Well,
he
no,
can't.
See,
he can't lose and win again because that
it's
would.
It's not. here's the thing. It's not ridiculous in the sense that it's kind of interesting when they do the angle once or twice to be like, oh, damn, he lost it to so-and-so, but then he won it again. But then again, they don't think about their future. So they don't run that once. They run that at least 2 to 3 times during his career. So that at certain points, you know, in like 2 months, he won and lost the title. And then it's like, okay, so that literally did not matter.
You're also telling me that, you know, 3 U.S. title reigns, 2 WWE tag team reigns, and 2 world tag team reigns?
Right.
And I'm just thinking back, who the hell did Cena tag with? Did he win
Thank
them
you.
By accident, if I remember correctly? I think he won them as part of this weird storyline where it was like
okay.
an accidental tag team thing.
Okay. No, you say accident like he just like, oh, God, I just stumbled and buried. Whoops.
No.
I'm so sorry.
I feel like that. I remember that's what happened. Like, he was with, like, you know, it was Edge or one of these guys where they put them together.
Right.
And he was forced to, I don't know who his tag team things are with.
That's really funny, though. It's just because, like, because when if I thought about
tag
teams, I'm like,
this is a random one. It was either Batista or Shawn or some shit.
I want to say Batista. I kind of remember John Cena
and
Batista.
John and Batista
right.
were a thing for a bit because
yeah.
remember SmackDown vs. Raw 2006. Oh, okay. So I got two.
Okay.
The Miz, Otunga, Batista, and Shawn. Is that right? Holy crap.
Okay, let's just... I want to move on because I'm nervous. Okay. I'm just so confused right now.
I'm confused that I got two of them. I'm 90% okay. sure that the Batista and the Shawn thing were the same way, where it was just like... Well, Batista, I think, was maybe a heel at the time, and it was like
mm-hmm.
a Mega Powers thing, where it's like, hey, the two best guys in the roster should wrestle together. That should win the world. And then with Shawn, it must have been the same thing, because Cena and Shawn, I think, had a pretty good set of matches,
yeah.
if I remember correctly.
Oh, dear.
But let's
oh,
move
dear.
On before
so,
I start getting scared.
Yeah. Okay. They should always, to shill the network, they should always hold the $9.99 paper on Cole's face. 24/7.
I liked how subtle it was, by the way, when JBL at first was like, no, right there. Right there. There. Over
yeah.
his face. I laughed because I was like, I see what you guys are doing. That's actually okay.
That's funny, yeah. It can be funny. It's just that, here's the thing. There are some people that are saying it's too much. I think it's okay on the main shows. However, on the network itself, like, here's the thing. They should not be assuming, okay, at SummerSlam, right, they do not need to promote the network. Because for the people that haven't bought the network, I feel, at this point, they're either pirates who will never buy it, or they don't have the right internet, and it feels like they're being mocked for not buying
Righto.
It. Right? Or, if you have the
I'm
network,
glad, by the
you
way,
feel like... Hmm?
That they released it internationally before this 999 shit.
Thank goodness. They
right?
Speak,
I know you're thinking
think
the exact same
try.
Thing I'm thinking.
They would do something stupid like not do that. But thankfully they were smart enough to realize, let's make this coincide. Rather than, and if anyone doesn't know about this happening, it did. Go watch it on the network. Hulk Hogan promotes the network when they're on tour in the UK where they cannot legally get the network. Please, I want that to sink
in for a bit. I want that silence to be...
Yeah, a reflective, you know, imagine you're sitting there in a church. Like, just really reflect on your life right now. They were on SmackDown.
In that silence,
yeah.
I'll give you Maddie's explanation to Cena's backstory.
Okay.
Shawn was impromptu, and Batista seemed to be spur of the moment as well. The Rock put him with The Miz, and Horny teamed him with Otunga. Horny, I assume, referring to Hornswoggle, the anonymous GM of Raw. And I'm just sitting there thinking that this doesn't help my I hate John Cena stuff. Like, you know, in terms of...
Here's the
you
thing.
You sit there and you're
I,
like, you know what? Maybe that Satish guy has a point. He does have these random title reigns for no freaking reason.
Yeah, no, because the thing is, and I will admit, it's there are certain things that are cool to do. Like, I feel like it would be cool if, let's say, Sheamus would have, like, you know, the World Heavyweight... Okay, one title, not the Unified, but one of the two titles, and, let's say, the United States. Because then he drops the United States, and then he moves on with his life, with the main title. It's a cool thought, right? But it's scary when it's John Cena, let's say, because the thing about John Cena is, to say that he got a World Tag Team title reign means that I'm pretty sure someone else got bumped. To give him a
I will
reign.
Say, if my memory is correct,
okay.
I think I remember liking the Otunga one, because if
right.
I remember correctly, That was when he was under, like, the slavage of Wade Barrett, and Barrett made him, like, made him lose to Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel.
Right.
Where he
Fair
had to
enough.
Lay down to take the pin.
Yes.
But
enough.
The rest of them, I know nothing about. I know literally nothing about. Maddie's saying it was given the titles because most of the reigns were like a week or two long. I suppose that the Otunga one was like 2 weeks long or so. Yep. Yeah. She's confirming.
And that's the problem because like they were quick little things, but then they give him that resume where it's like, John, you know, what do you have on your resume? Well, like all you see is titles. So like, you know, either way, moving forward, there were many Hulk Hogan birthday wishes. And I would like to go through them all as we go through the night. Here's one. They had to put the name under Flo Rida because Hogan thought he was Tony Atlas. They had to put the name under Weird Al because Hogan thought he was Howard Stern.
That was pretty good.
Now let's move forward. JBL said something really amazing. He said it could be the fall of the Roman Empire when Roman Reigns came out. And I was so happy. And then, of course, as you heard a second later, he took that off Twitter. See, maybe they should start hiring people like us. You know,
who
maybe we're actually creative.
Yeah. Come on, let me make a Russo crazy shirt.
Well, that wouldn't work for God knows how many reasons. Although I have to say this much. I'll say this much. That wouldn't work, but everyone in the back would give you a high five.
No, that would be like the, have you seen the explicit Ambrose Violence t-shirt?
Yes.
Which is not WWE sanctioned, but it's around.
Oh, yeah.
It would be
one of those shirts.
Buy one.
Yes.
It would be one of those. Like, I want an explicit Ambrose Violence shirt. I really want
one. As do I. Oh, and I shall be getting one soon, hopefully. But get one on Etsy. That's where I saw one. And I was like,
Etsy's wonderful.
I'm going to buy this soon. It is. Anyway, so Reigns.
One of my favorite sites, but yes.
Oh, yes. And then we had Reigns and Kane doing their little segment thing. Now,
Kane is back as corporate Kane, and I don't know if that bothers me.
Oh, it bothers me, but also it doesn't. Let's see. Okay, so I don't want to, like, dwell on everything so much because I do have a lot of notes here, but and we have a lot to talk about. But what I will say is this much. It bothers me because, and the reason why, like, there are a lot of things tonight that really drop down this grade for this Raw. I do not believe this Raw was an F. However, in no way am I saying this Raw was an A. Like, it was somewhere weirdly mixed between C and B, and I can't even make a choice. It's in that range because it's corporate Kane, right? It's nice because Glenn is, you know, Glenn Jacobs' actual name. He has a real name, everyone. Is so good at being corporate Kane. But the problem becomes, do you not care? Where it feels as if because, and I'll say this more later during some other things later, because of the fact that certain writers got canned recently, it feels like they just said, and take your scripts with you.
Yeah.
You know? And it's shitty because I don't know if maybe it is a legal thing where it's like, actually, because they wrote it, you can't. But I'm assuming because they wrote it with WWE, they can use everything. Yet it feels as if they just said, so, they're gone. Let's just burn their scripts right here and laugh maniacally while twiddling our mustaches. But, sir, we don't have mustaches. That's right. John, buy us some fake mustaches. You know, like, it just, it feels really weird to do because, yeah, like, immediately Kane gives up his mask. And then instead of having him in some hibernation mode before he, like, you know, breaks out of a, you know, a cocoon or something, I assume that's what Kane does when he's not on television, he comes back as corporate Kane again. And it's just like, hey, look, he's corporate Kane.
Yeah,
okay,
it's
that's
almost
a lovely explanation.
Well, it's funny. I was just about to make a joke, and Maddie texted me on the same thing. It's almost like when they had a guy come out and create a stable in a suit because he had a PhD and then completely ignored it.
I was going to bring that up later.
Happen for 2 weeks.
I was going to bring that up.
Maddie brought up too because they don't care. Remember when Xavier Woods had a stable? I remember. You remember, don't you?
I believe Pepperidge Farms also remembers. However, we'll get some confirmation on that later. What I do have to say though is yes, we recently had Big E on SmackDown, got fed to Rusev, no Xavier Woods in sight. On main event tonight, we had Kofi Kingston against Seth Rollins. Not even a bad match.
No Xavier Woods.
In sight.
Not
again,
even
I assume that
they
writer...
They deleted Xavier Woods from his mind. What happened is when that writer left, they actually removed PhD stable Xavier Woods from their minds. If you were to talk to Kofi Kingston right now, he would have no idea what you were talking about.
Dolph Ziggler made a joke about Seth Rollins being a superhero. or supervillain, his whole outfit, why can't we just say that's what happened? Why can't they just say, Seth Rollins actually deleted him from Kofi Kingston's mind?
Wow, that's scary. That really gives you some X-Men villain heat, right? I'd like that. He looks like an X-Men villain. He does X-Men villain shit. Not that I need any more reason to love Seth, but I mean, like, you know.
Seth tries to use his powers on Dean Ambrose. And it's just like, damn it, I can't get a lock on it. Like, you can't get a lock on his mind. It's like, wait a minute, he's trolling me with his mind as he's beating the hell out of Seth Rollins. Seth is screaming, he's thinking of pudding! Like, just to throw off Seth. Like, he's just throwing out random thoughts into his head.
I would love that, and I would believe it.
I would believe it. Just to mess with him. Just to mess with him every single time. I just have the strangest feeling. It'd just be like, you know, where all of a sudden Rollins is like, I will get into your mind. Oh, come on! All of a sudden Ambrose is like, what? You know, I was just doing your mom. Rollins is like, come on!
That
like,
would
every
be
single
really
time.
Screwed up.
Every single time.
And I'd probably laugh. I know I would.
But anyway, getting back to what actually, I assume, but then again, maybe that does happen and we don't know. But getting back to Reigns and Kane, this was a bad idea to do too soon. Like, I want to see where it goes, so I'm not like, oh, rah. But I do feel as if, you know, this could have waited, you know? We didn't need Kane to do this immediately. And that's a huge issue. And hey, guess what? But in a way, he had to, because they fired, quote-unquote, fired Brad Maddox. Vicky left, understandably, but they've given no one the chance to fill in that role.
Right.
You know, and so there's no one to really go out there and, you know, do things like that, either for the authority or just in general. And it's upsetting. Also, then the next thing comes up, which again also kind of makes this kind of go in a weird grade limbo. Reigns versus Ryback. How do you
that
feel?
That really didn't need to happen.
Yes.
In no dimension did that have to happen, because Reigns is already literally, like, he's got a rocket under his ass because he's being pushed to the moon. So
yeah.
That's set. He could have fought, and just Ryback doesn't need to be, like, pushed further down on the jobber scale.
Here's
and
what's weird, too, by the way.
Huh?
They didn't, actually. They didn't push them down because they gave them a weird amount of time to work.
No. First off, no, Curtis Axel should not trash talk ever. That was really bad.
Really? I like this trash talking.
No.
You know what?
Curtis Axel has a forgettable Intercontinental title reign on his record and no fan support.
Here's the issue. You see, first off, that's why he's a trash talk, because he's easy heat. Easy. I mean, he can look at everyone and go,
that's not even heat. That's apathy.
It's
Curtis Axel's like, yeah, I'm going to fuck you up. And everyone's just like,
you have to understand something. You have to understand something. Curtis Axel could say, I love Hulk Hogan. And immediately everyone would be like, you know what? Yeah, fuck Hulk Hogan.
No, they don't care enough. Why would they? Nobody cares what Curtis Axel thinks. Curtis Axel could somehow bring the cure to cancer out, and he would get no attention. Curtis Axel would be like, I've cured cancer. And everyone would sit there and be like, and who are you losing to tonight, Curtis?
Curtis Axel tries to say that he is friends with Hulk Hogan to get everyone to hate Hulk Hogan. Everyone believes that his microphone is off, even though if you really focus hard enough, the microphone is working perfectly.
And I feel bad because I don't think I've seen in a long while such a stark difference. You know, on television, because Axel made it to the big time, which means he must have been doing some stuff right. And to be fair, to his credit, I do not think he is a bad worker at all. I just think that somebody blasted him with, like, a charisma, like, machine. Just sucked it all away.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I had no issue with his trash talking. Here's what I think he has a problem with, though. He does not mesh well with other people's humor. Meaning, like, you can pair him up with The Rock as a tag team. And The Rock will be like, can you smell, with The Rock? And all of a sudden he points to Curtis Axel and he goes, and me! And it's like, God damn it, Curtis!
That's what I'm saying. Curtis Axel, he would just sap all the charisma out of that moment.
But
like,
and
even his,
though, yeah.
even his solo entrances yes. were so bad when he would just come out and do like the like it's me boom kind of thing.
But I
everyone
to,
would look at him and be like, Curtis, were
right.
you dropped on your head as a baby?
But what I have to say is this much, though. I did, because here's the thing. I liked him saying, you know, like him basically calling, you know, Roman Reigns a kid, because you do forget. You have to really sit there and remember. Not because the problem is, again, with the way WWE does things, where they don't think about the future and they just do whatever the hell they want to. They forget to mention. It's like, hey, please remember, you know, Curtis Axel did get a win on Triple H. But no, you have to forget that because he's a jobber now. It's like, no, he got a win on Triple H. Like, he's, it's strange, you know, where it's just, nope, now he's a, you know, comedy jobber, but they've been giving them wins lately, I guess, to make them look a bit more credible to Roman, to fight Roman.
But
and
that's
it's like,
sucks.
No, stop
because
it. Yeah, that's the thing, yeah,
you,
stop it.
And you mentioned that they may have gotten a little bit extra time.
Yes.
They lost by DQ and still got the crap beaten out of them.
Yeah,
that's
no, that's
pretty bad. Because if you're
yeah.
losing by DQ, all bets are off. You could have, like, hung him from the ring and then just kept turns, like, beating him with a chair. That's a DQ,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And you still lost. In
yeah.
no way did that make them look good. And the tag team division is still kind of, like, on its last legs right now. So it really
yeah.
ticked me off that somebody, excuse me, that you've been using consistently in the tag division was just thrown to Roman Reigns, who didn't need it.
No, that's the thing. Roman did not need it, obviously. And what I will say, too, is that if you were going to throw anyone, I know this might sound crazy, I would have picked the Usos, or if one of the, you know, one of the, what is it, one of the Los Matadores, yes, I said that, was still around and not, you know, hand injury.
Isn't he
because
just like
is,
El Matador?
Hear what? Yes.
Isn't he just like
I
El Matador?
I think
El Matador. I think that's
no,
the convention
think
of Spanish.
What I want, though, right, here's what I, because the thing is, the reason why I say that, right, and I don't mean to, I don't want to be like, oh, yeah, because, you know, little guys are going to get beaten up, but we had Ryback on the damn team.
But see, when Ryback trash talked, it kind of made sense.
Yeah, like, we have Ryback on the damn team. Like, Ryback should be able to hold his own against Roman Reigns. Like, it really gets me sad because it just feels like, you know, it's like you turn on a WWE video game, and it's like, in 2012, you know, WWE 2012, Ryback was in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. Turn on 2K15, Ryback is currently in the early 80s, late 70s. But why? He's still tough, you know?
Yeah,
like, that's how it feels.
And I think it's weird because Ryback's kind of accepted his role as a human,
yeah.
like, you know, jobber, big kind of guy. And I think he
mm-hmm.
almost likes it, you know, which is cool. So
because he's still getting these cheers. I think that's what I think he
yeah,
likes.
Because we like
because,
him, and he's still very funny
yeah.
on Twitter. And when you use him in a limited role and he's not, like, in the WWE title scene, Ryback's
yeah.
cool with us, man.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, I mean, big guy. Awesome. Pretty
yeah.
funny. But,
yeah,
I didn't think that needed to happen so quickly. I mean, Reigns...
That is true.
Like, here's the thing now. Where, after he thrashes Randy Orton, I mean, I was thinking, and Maddie and I were agreeing on this, in terms of
mm-hmm.
he could somehow feud for the mid-card or something like that, in terms of the Intercontinental title, the U.S. title, because
yes.
you need to slow his push a little.
Yeah, most definitely.
You kind of lit the rocket a little bit too quick. And now
yeah.
Roman's, like, up there in the stratosphere, like, oh, my God, oh, the stratus. Oh, my God, what the fuck am I going to do up here? And then, you know, they don't know. Like, the Rocket's going to peter out. Because you don't want them to do what they did with Cesaro, where it was right there. All they had to do was turn him face or give him a big moment, and they gave us neither. And now he's in this really horrible purgatory.
Yes. Also, I would say... even though, you know, another team that they could have given him, at least if they had to do this, because let's just, again, let's pretend it's one of those situations where it's like, nope, it's going to happen no matter what. They have Slater Gator, and they're kind of giving Slater some nice things to, like, they're kind of, I don't know, it just feels weird that they would pick Ryback-sel of all people, you know, and it's just, you know, especially when it's like Slater Gator's new, they're still kind of in that really low level of, like, you know, it's like, yeah, Slater got a nice thing on Monday, but it's not like he's a face because of what we saw tonight, not tonight. He did not fight Ziggler tonight, correct?
Slater?
Yes.
Last night, first off.
I'm sorry, last night, of course, yes.
Yeah, no, he did. He fought Ziggler.
Okay, thank you.
Because he fought Rollins last week.
Yes, no, thank you. Forgive me because I was currently today catching up with last week's main event, SmackDown, last night's Monday Night Raw, and then main event tonight. So,
but no, I mean, I don't
it.
Want Roman or Slater Gator either because it's sort of like you... I would be pissed if they did that because it would have literally felt like they looked at me and said, you know what, Stish, we're going to build up a team for 2 weeks just so Roman Reigns can kill them.
Well,
like, if they did that for
SmackDown anyway.
No, but, like, if they did that for anybody else, I like Roman Reigns, but if they did that for, like, Cena or something, I'd be furious. So I have to be fair, like, you know, and I on top of this, I freaking like Slater Gator. Because these two guys, you know, Slater should be doing something because he's very talented. And you know what? Titus, after his really ridiculously stupid turn on Darren and all that crap, he's a big enough guy in terms of, like, how you have Ryback and Axel that he should be doing something, at least in, like, the mid-card or lower mid-card. You know,
right.
You can't – don't misuse someone who looks like they could be a good enhancement talent.
Right, yeah, and I'll tell you this much. There was a really big problem. I don't know if you noticed it. Something that made me furious. JBL was talking about Roman Reigns, right? Roman Reigns was, you know, hitting Ryback and stuff. And JBL said, turnabout is fair play. It might seem very small, but when you hear that from JBL, who's the heel? You have to sit there and you have to think, all right, fire Jerry Lawler, put JBL in Lawler's place, and get someone who's actually, you know, think like Paul Heyman. Right? There are so many people out there that it's like, you have one freaking job. And the problem is he's not bad because he's done a lot of great things. But you have one job, and it's no matter what the situation, right? You know, it's like, oh my God, Shawn Michaels threw Marty Jannetty into that window. No, Jannetty was trying to escape. He tried to jump out the window. That's your one job, right? Be completely, you know, stupid. And, you know, when it comes to, if someone's being a heel, no matter what they do, it's right. How are you going to sit there and go, yep, I mean, you know what? Roman Reigns is beating him up. That's obviously what's meant to... Like, how can you say that? And then all of a sudden, you know, anyone else comes out, like Ambrose or, you know, and Rollins, and it's like, yep, Rollins is completely correct.
Right.
Yep. It's infuriating. And it's so small, but it's just... It's... Okay. Back in the day, it's so small. Now it's on the network forever. You know, I don't understand what's going... Like... Even the gimmicks are a little bit weird to me when he comes out and he's like, yep, bull, hooray. But I think they've toned it down because they realized, hey, stop that. That's stupid. You shouldn't be doing that, JBL. But that's all they need to do is just change, fire Lawler. Put him in Lawler's place where he could possibly say bad things to, you know, to Michael, but at the same time still kind of be fun because he's very fun, I think. Like, when, you know, when he needs to be. Like, he can be very fun and into the gimmicks and stuff. And get someone like freaking Paul Heyman who can sit there and say, here's the thing about this bad guy, who you think is a bad guy. He's actually a great man. Did you know? And they just start naming men. Did you know that Brock Lesnar was once a Girl Scout? How do you, like, you know what I mean? Like, why do you persecute the Girl Scouts, Michael Cole? What's your problem with them? And it's like, I don't have a problem with the, I don't. Just come, like, Michael Cole is completely like, I don't have a problem with the Girl Scouts of America. Of course you don't, Michael Cole. But seriously,
can
though,
men be
it's
Girl
just,
Scouts?
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
But,
like, legally, can you be?
I don't believe so. I don't believe
that's
so.
That's what I'm trying to, like, yeah, like,
it reminds me of, I don't know if you know Stephen Carr. He's a comedian. And they were just like, how, and, you know, and they asked, you know, he was like, oh, people always ask me, he's British. People always ask me, you know, how was I when I was a little kid? And he's like, well, you know, I was a little black girl. Like, you know, it's just little things like that, which is like, yeah, there's like, you know, Paul Heyman as a child was a wonderful Girl Scout. Wait a minute. Like, I don't, you know, like,
well, you know what,
been,
Paul, if you broke the barrier, then all power to you.
But, yes,
let's move
but seriously
on.
Though, but seriously though, yes, it should be Reigns is a criminal. The match is over. How dare he? But no, it's, well, I mean, you know, that and of course Roman Reigns needs a vocal coach. His promo wasn't bad. But he needs either a new catchphrase, because when he was like, you know, believe that, you know, I was like, you know, like, believe. He was like, no, like, do something, like, believe in the spear or something. Just because when he said, he's like, yeah, you know, believe that.
Yeah,
he was just so out there.
It's weird, because I liked what they're trying to do with Roman now, because they're letting him be more like himself. And, you know, it just sounds like he's the guy who makes jokes to himself. Like, yeah, you know what you do to a viper? You just shove its fangs down. It's true. That's how you beat it, man. Come on, man. And then he's going to go out there. He's like, yeah, it's going to be a worthless lizard kind of shit. And I'm like, oh, all right, Rome. All right, then, man.
Well, no,
cool.
It's not
you
that.
Do,
it's
you do
the...
you. You do you. I'll be over here.
That wasn't,
that
wasn't even the issue. That wasn't. You know what my issue was? My issue was, again, I say vocal coach or something because he has this, okay, and I hate to say this, the reason why The Rock succeeded, and I think I've said this before, is because he was very clear. You know what I mean? That's how he was when he spoke. He's very clear, and when he talked very fast, he was very clear. Like, when I heard him, he didn't say, you know, he wasn't like, yeah, you know, he's like, let me tell you something. Like, something about when Roman Reigns speaks, and hey, I might be biased because I do like the New York accent, you know? Like, I don't think it's soft or anything, you know, I like the New York accent.
Soft. But when I like you for
soft,
this reference.
Soft. But
there was a
comes
soft sign
to,
in the audience.
There were two.
Yeah,
and
I was very pleased
Raw,
because I like that that's becoming a thing, you know, and for those of you who don't watch NXT, Enzo and Big Cass, native New Yorkers, which makes me extremely happy, you know. I was just laughing because they cut a promo. You know what you are? You're soft. I'll spell it for you. And they spell it that way, and it's like S-A-W-S-T, and I'm like, shit.
Okay. But yeah, no, that's the thing. So that's the thing. Like, maybe I'm biased, right? I know I'm biased. But it's just something about Roman Reigns. It's just if you want to push this guy to the moon, you need to make sure that he gets rid of certain things when he talks, like something, or, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, you know, let me tell you something. It's just there's – I have to think of more, but sadly I didn't write them down. But I hopefully if you try to go back and rewatch Raw – not on the network, though, because it's not there yet – but on Hulu Plus or via your local illegal downloading stream, you know, anything. Yeah. You
we and those guys do not encourage any illegal activities or anything of the sort. Please have a nice evening as the CIA looks to kill us.
Exactly. But, hey, look, there's a red dot on my forehead. Anyway, so, yeah, I just feel as if they, you know, they really need to coach him because that was my only problem. He wasn't bad. You know, everything else he did was great, but just whenever he said, like, I'm going to kill him, I was like, Roman, like, you got to enunciate there, buddy.
Soft.
That was just my, yes, soft. And, of course, if you saw Main Event tonight, everyone, why am I bringing up Main Event right now? We had Ryback versus Usos. Sort of. Not really. Sort of.
Sort of.
There were more tag teams than there should have been. But anyway, and I'm bringing it up because we brought up Ryback. So, hey, look, Ryback segue of the night. Ryback, first off, there were 999 chants, by the way. And the Usos went along with it. I want to make that known. And, of course, they opened a challenge up for the tag team titles. So, apparently, they aren't doing it at SummerSlam, I guess. I would imagine.
Yeah, that was for the main event tonight.
Yes, main event of main event, yes. And Ryback comes out. I swear to God, he goes, yeah, playtime is over, and so are we. What? I swear to God. I swear to God, he said, playtime is over, and so are we.
That took me a second where I was like, wait.
Also,
no,
a wild
you're
RVD
not over.
Appeared. A wild RVD appeared. And I swear to God,
but
not
I mean,
kidding.
Technically, if you want to use wrestling terms, Ryback is over. Curtis Axel is
probably,
just existing.
That might be what he meant then, I assume. He was trying to use
wrestling
terms.
Oh, yeah,
terms.
No, I assume. I'm just laughing because
just, yeah.
Anyone who thinks Curtis Axel is anywhere near over.
Yeah.
Is demented.
I guess that's why it's, yes. But anyway, so we have that happen. We have a wild RVD appear, alone, by the way, saying he's going to challenge for the tag team titles. Ryback calls him a dummy, and he says to him, he's like, oh, yeah, you dummy, you need two people to be in a tag team. You singlet-stealing feed-me moron.
Which, you know, actually made me pretty happy.
And RVD came out high, by the way.
Damn
if
it.
Anyone doesn't know. Yeah, he came out high. He says, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I forgot my tag team partner. Oh, no, I didn't. And he motions someone to come out. And it's Sheamus.
That's not weird.
No, you know what isn't weird either? He had the United States around his, you know, it was his belt. And guess what? They don't want you calling them belts in WWE. But that's all he had on tonight was a belt. They made no reference to it being there whatsoever. And he he challenged with RVD for the tag team championship. So tonight's main event, on main event, were a triple threat tag team match with Ryback, the Usos, and Rob Van Sheamus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Van Sheamus-inator would have been a really interesting move.
That
like, if you remember the Van Damme-inator, he would throw the chair and kick it. I could just imagine Van Damme throwing the chair and then a bro kick. That would be actually
The
Van
Sheamus-inator
would be awesome.
You were like, he throws the chair and kicks it. I was like, so he throws Sheamus?
Sheamus' battering ram move becomes part of their finisher, where the guy holds a chair and he throws Sheamus. This doesn't work because Sheamus just runs into the chair, and then he's knocked out. The guy pins Sheamus for the win. But no,
and Corporate Kane appeared to declare it a triple threat match, by the way. And, of course, as you can clearly tell from this, they clearly have nothing for Sheamus.
They don't, and that sucks. You know why? He's got a title on him.
Yeah.
And
Sheamus didn't win, by the way. Like, the Usos won in a very cool way, because one of the Usos tagged themselves in while RVD was in. So he tagged himself, you know, by hitting RVD. But RVD didn't notice, obviously. So he frog splashes Axel. RVD turns around on his back, gets hit with the splash by one of the Usos. One of the Usos gets the pin.
So
again,
you're telling me
bad match.
We didn't get the Van Sheamusinator.
I'm sorry to tell you, but we didn't get... If we got the Van Sheamusinator, we would have had Sheamus with two titles.
No. I didn't want them to win. I just want the Van Sheamusinator.
Okay. But you have to understand, that move is so devastating.
When we were watching the Hardy Boys versus the Young Bucks, I just wanted my Poetry in Motion move. F everything else. And when I got Poetry in Motion, I was hyped, which still looked just as good as it did 10 years ago.
Have you stayed hyped?
No, I'm not Mojo Rawley. I'm very sorry about that. But that's why it's not my gimmick, you know? I can't stay hyped. It's actually a genetic disorder that forces me to not stay hyped for more than 2 or 3 hours.
I'm so sorry. You should get that checked out. So Kane and Randy Orton did their own little thing, which was terrible because it made sense in terms of, you know what, Randy, you're sitting there, you're like, you know what, Kane, you couldn't do it, so many people couldn't do it, I'm going to do this, I'm going to defeat Roman Reigns. But I love how Randy just walks up to him like, oh, hey, Corporate Kane, you are always corporate. Like,
that's what pissed me off about the segment, where it's like, not even a joke, where it's like, so no mask today, huh? Like, something like that, a throwaway line. I hate that it's just like, they all have just accepted, Kane's just back to being Kane. No!
You know, yeah.
No! No! It doesn't work that way. It's one thing to expect us to forget things that happened, like, 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
He was a, quote-unquote, the Demon Kane, in all caps, for, like, 2.5 months recently. You can't just, like, flip that off like a switch where it's like, well, we're done with that. He's going to go rap now. And then everyone's going to be like, oh, yeah, man, rapper Kane. He's like Eminem. He's always been this way. No!
Yep. It's just,
No!
Yeah, I know. And,
Part of why this Raw sucked!
Although, something else happened where I think this sucked as well, and this was, it's one of those kind of minor things, but I do want to bring it up.
Tell me.
I feel like it's a bit sexist, so it's not that minor, but I feel like it's something you could have missed. I hate that the song they use when the divas pop up, right? That same song they always use, which, by the way, isn't a bad song, but it's the same song they always use for all of the divas. It's normally a thing where it's like, oh, if the divas are coming out, like, you know, like, let's say Summer Rae or AJ Lee, that song will pop up before the next commercial, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got me weird because it happened when Stephanie and Brie were being talked about. For me, it feels sexist because it's just, listen, all right, this is Stephanie and Brie, damn it. These aren't, like, two divas. Like, they deserve their own damn music, the normal Raw music, or the music from SummerSlam. Like, why do we need to hear this thing, music that feels to them, quote-unquote, girly? For every woman, when we have a woman here who will one day run the company, I don't know. Like, for me, it just felt really off.
I'll be very honest with you. I did not notice that, so I don't...
That's why I was thinking. I was like, it's probably something you did not notice.
Yeah, I definitely didn't notice that. I'm being honest.
But here is my 1 cent, you know. But, something
you
may
can
have noticed,
that.
Though. Did you notice RVD versus Rollins?
I did for a bit, because I guess continuity.
Yeah. It's weird. It's continuity, so I couldn't feel that bad. But I felt bad because of simple monotony, where it hasn't happened in a while, but it still happened fairly recently, I believe 2 times.
The thing about RVD non-pay-per-view matches is that if you've seen one in the last 2 years, they're all very, very similar.
Yeah.
And if he's going to win, it's Formula A, and if he's going to lose, it's Formula B, and we got Formula B, which isn't that bad. It's just kind of, again, you know, I like RVD as a competitor, but, you know, he's years off his prime, so he's only able to do so much. And it was cool. It just didn't bring up Raw's letter grade. You know what I mean?
No. And it's an issue to me because here's the thing. I'm
and
not saying that RVD
should go match.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not that RVD shouldn't be fed to people, right? But RVD
right.
should be fed to a youngin who deserves it. Like, RVD needs to talk to Chris Jericho and just go, hey, man, you know, do you have any weed? No, I don't, Rob. All right, cool. But, hey, what do I do with my career? You know, RVD needs to speak to Chris about this because Chris, he got it right, you know. He did that one, he did the job to Fandango, who sadly never went anywhere, and he went, hey, how about fuck this, right? And he didn't come back until he was assured that he would be in something with, like, a guy that he wanted, like Bray Wyatt.
Right.
So, you know, because if he left it up to what RVD is doing right now, Jericho would have probably somehow managed to, in a veteran tag team, lose to Ryback or something. You know, like, it would have been bad. And that's an issue. I mean, I'll admit, yeah, it'd be cool if Jericho lost to someone like Cesaro. You know, because, like, yeah, you know what? If that happens, RVD loses to Cesaro, hey, Cesaro's great. But there are certain people, like, I don't think Rollins needed this right now. Rollins is already up there. He didn't need this win. Frankly, Rollins could have had a loss, and I've been like, all right, fair enough. Like, you're still on top, man. You're still money in the bank guy. Like, you know, if tonight, you know, they wanted to, like, make everything look cool, and let's say, what's it called, at the end of the night, Brock Lesnar F5 John Cena. It, you know, even if Rollins lost the RVD, he could have still walked out with that briefcase and been like, so, I would like to take that from him. You know?
Yeah, they kind of, I mean, I know that they wanted to, like, play up the more Ambrose Rollins thing, but
yeah.
they also kind of completely ignored that he was Money in the Bank this week, which
yeah,
sucks.
Well, I mean, I think that Heyman said it best. Where it's just, you know, this guy is preoccupied with this guy, this guy is preoccupied with this guy, you're never going to get them there, so take Lesnar, right? Where, and I think that's supposed to just stick for a while. I don't know how
yeah,
long,
and you know, in a way
it
does, because I'm sure that Ambrose would have interrupted if Rollins tried to do anything. That
oh, yeah.
being said,
he would have been
SummerSlam's
going to
be interesting,
been, yeah.
because if Rollins, you know, doesn't have anything to do with this match on Sunday, and he somehow walks out alive of his match with Ambrose,
yeah.
it's going to be weird. Like, I assume that because of the crap that happened in the last pay-per-view, Ambrose is going to win. But a lumberjack match doesn't really mean weapons or anything, so Rollins could walk out in a workable condition. You know,
which is
where,
cool.
Which is good, but I don't know if they'll use it or not.
I mean, it is shitty that they're using a lumberjack match in general, but I will say this much. If you see the promo that that Ambrose does, it makes sense the way he said it, where he was like, no one can run, no one can hide, gonna kick your ass.
Oh, yeah,
you
well,
know?
The Ambrose,
like,
are we at the promo on Raw, or?
No, I'm referring to his SmackDown delivery on the lumberjack
okay.
match, bringing it up. It makes sense, you know? It's just upsetting that we're thinking, so he's going to Moida him with weapons, yes? Street fight, yes? Nope, lumberjack match. Excuse me? You know, just silence, just, okay. All right. So, but hopefully they're saving that for another time. The only issue, I think, is where, you know, on SmackDown, if you saw, he brought out a list of...
Yeah,
of,
the list
I don't,
killed me.
Yeah, JBL's hat on a pole match. But yeah, but that's the thing. That's something Ambrose would do. See, that's also a bit underwhelming. Like, Ambrose would do something like, your money in the bank, you know, what's it called, your money in the bank briefcase, we have to reach it by climbing up a ladder, but the ladder is filled with spikes. Also, around the briefcase is a bomb. Like, so Ambrose, how do we get to the title? I just kick your ass. You know? Like,
yeah.
how do we, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that should be, but that's the weird thing, where he chose something that was already pre-established in the WWE universe, which is also upsetting, which is why I think they need to take more risks, because they easily could have made something brand spanking new. Not even have it stick, just make something
brand
new.
Brand spanking new.
Yes, that's a phrase.
No,
that
it's
exists.
Fine. I mean, I've got friends, you know, coming into, like, our friend Blaine, who's now coming into wrestling with us, and it's funny because he's on a pole things. Like, the jokes may not resonate with them, the new friends coming in. But, you know, one of these days I'll sit down and explain to you guys in terms of what this whole on a pole stuff jokes are going for. But also, like, a lumberjack match, we haven't had a good lumberjack match in a while or period.
Right.
So this could be nice, because I get Ambrose's justification. It's not what I really wanted, but it's kind of like, it felt like a swerve where everybody thought,
yeah.
you know, street fight, and then bam,
yeah.
lumberjack. And, you know, it is different because in Cage you escape to win. But in here, it's a matter of like, no, one of us will lose, and I think I can beat the shit out of you.
Right,
so,
which is nice. Also, did you notice the Divas song that played?
Playing right after Ambrose's promo.
How do you notice how pissed off Ambrose was?
Yes.
I believe he mouthed like, oh, shit, or something like that, or oh, hell. Like, it was great, though, because, okay, so Stephanie came on right after. She was walking out. So clearly they had it keyed up to go there. But what I'm wondering is, like, I don't know how the switchboards work. For us, obviously, if we have to play a song, we can push a button. We see what we've labeled them. I wonder if they label them, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, they only label them, let's say, by numbers or something.
They
so,
could also be like me, where if you see mm-hmm. some of my labels on the soundboard, they're really stupid
yes.
as hell.
I'm wondering, but I'm saying, like, no, but the thing is, it's the same song that they played before. So it's not like a song thing. It has to be like, okay, you play this specific one at this specific cue. So I'm wondering if someone forgot to write a cue. Because even, although, and you know, and although it does also bring up the point of, can you not see what's going on out there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Ambrose is standing there. We must play women's music for the women because that is, like, you know what I mean? Like, that was so weird. To the point where when Stephanie was walking out, I heard parts of the song that I never heard before. You know? And I was like, oh, this is really bad. But, but yeah, no, it was just upsetting for me, though, mostly because I do sit here and I'm just thinking, you know, like, what did they do? Like, I mean, like, I'm really wondering, like, who, like, was it another conspiracy? You know, are more people getting angry over the conditions in WWE? But, you know, we say no, but our producer says yes. I just don't know. It's weird, isn't it? Like we have no explanation. And
no.
We haven't even heard any rumors about it, which is also quite strange.
It is odd.
So as far as we're concerned, they planned that from the beginning. They wanted to see what Ambrose would do. The authority is messing with Ambrose.
For all we know.
For all we know. And you know, of course, as we move on, we mentioned... Rollins fought Kofi on main event. Not even a bad match, but no New Nation.
Which is a huge issue.
Which makes me honestly feel as if I want Cena to win. And it sounds crazy. But I just, it feels, because the thing is, I'm just a bit round, you know, a bit wound up because it makes me feel as if, so if you don't care, why should I care? You know, if you've stopped caring about your product, unless what they're trying to do is make some crazy nation reveal at SummerSlam to make it so that, you know, it's like, oh, the swerve you weren't expecting because we took them off TV. It's like, well, guys, you put them there in the first place, you know?
Yeah.
Don't do that. You know, like, you can't just do that. Like, you can't just, like, make them go nuts, let's say, at SummerSlam, which maybe that is what they're doing, and then they're supposed to make it seem like the whole, see? Like with Daniel Bryan, where it's like, see? We told you we had a plan, a general...
They quickly abandon things all the time that I'm really worried about what they're doing there.
That's the thing. I assume they've abandoned it. But the thing is that they're also the kind of jerks that would, you know, say, like, see, we told you this was going to happen, you know? Like with Daniel, like I just said with Daniel Bryan, where they were like, see, we knew that someone was going to win at WrestleMania. What? Yeah, you see, someone won at WrestleMania. That was the plan all along.
Well then.
That's the thing, where it just feels like that, where it's just like, it just thinly veiled things. Like, I remember JR said, see, they had a plan, but with Daniel Bryan. It's like, no, they didn't. Like, look at Mick Foley's everything, you know? He saw them basically not doing anything with it, and then the fans revolted. So in this case, you can clearly see, I assume anyway, as, you know, as of right now, that they had something. They got rid of it, assumingly because I truly believe it's because writers left. Because you don't do something that big, knowing that it's going to be on your network forever. Unless we see Raw on the network now and that section was cut out, which would be smart of them to do, but they won't.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's just, so that was there for 2 weeks, literally 2 weeks, or at least two shows, Raw and main event, and then gone completely. Without so much as a whisper.
So much as a whisper.
No, not even just, hey, guys, we canceled this. And then slowly just, Vince McMahon just goes back into the darkness that is his home. And, you know, it's just, nope, it's nothing. So, yeah, I hope Cena wins now, and I hope they give me a reason to stop watching. Because as of right now, I'm a little ticked off. A little bit more than little. They just did not need to just, because again, anything, but no, nothing. You just, and what's even worse is at least take Kofi and Big E off television. The fact that they've put Kofi and Big E on, I mean, we won't mention this too long, but yeah, Big E was fed to Rusev on Friday. How sickening and is that to your stomach? Big E was on SmackDown. Like,
yeah, I mean, I can't say anything other than that you're right here for the obvious reasons. Because if you want to stop caring WWE about this New Nation angle, then at least really try to retcon it. You know, don't try to make it seem like, okay, we'll just go ahead with Big E and Kofi. They weren't, you know, because there wasn't even anything close to a resolution, like not even a half-assed thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Even with Sheamus, you know, I mean, Sheamus, they just don't even care. Like, we never got official word on where the hell he was. So, if you loved Sheamus and you didn't know his number, you thought he died, you know? It's like, if you're, I was his mom, he didn't tell me where he was, I assumed he was dead, you know? Because WWE didn't want to tell you. And then he comes back and then he loses twice, or, in my opinion, jobs twice. Like, it does, not because we want him to win, but because he was, if you want to quote someone, he was untouchable. All of a sudden, just comes back, he's actually being touched a lot for three counts. You know, it's like, it's very upsetting. I'll say that much. And, of course, King made a joke. I don't know if you picked up on it. I didn't like it. I hated it because I hated it being on television. And it's a joke. It was the whole, I once had a job at a muffler factory, but it was exhausting work. Did you pick up on that one?
Yep.
When they were talking about having to, here's the thing. I might get shit for this. That's a funny joke. However, that is not going to be on television, right? Live, where children are watching. Because here's the thing. We mentioned yesterday for our Gravity Falls episode, which, by the way, totally watched that Gravity Falls episode 2 review, right? Season 2, episode 2. We said, oh, yes, sometimes, you know, kids won't get the jokes or whatever, right? But at the same time, this is a company who gets shit on for things like this, right? It's coming from the same guy. And to top it all off, these are real people, I guess, where, like, you know, a cartoon is more like, oh, yeah, you know, cartoon. These are real people, if you want to say that much. So it's just really upsetting to kind of see this happen on TV and think, oh, good God, again. You know, like, especially when King, at this point in his career, isn't giving amazing calls. Like, if he was JR right now, you'd be, you know, people forget, you know, people, like, JR had faults. Like, I remember he always got confused with, I think, like, Benoit, and, you know, he would never say the right names and stuff like that for certain people. It took him a while. But that happened. But you know what? He had some amazing calls. So he had some stuff wrong, and you were like, all right, but, you know, calls. Like, King, at this point in his career, is not doing anything that you can go, all right, so he did say that sexist comment, but how amazing is he right now in every other part of his, you know, being? It's like, nope, he barely gives anything, and he also makes women feel uncomfortable. Live on the WWE Network.
And he gets paid for that.
And he gets paid for it. Like,
anyway.
I didn't get paid for good things that I do. And I do a lot of good things, mind you. I'm a good person.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
What's
But yeah. And, you know, but either way, let's move on, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
They had a we're up to Stephanie and Megan, which I put in my notes as Stephanie/Megan crap. But you know what? Let's also go on a random tangent that's not so random. Am I an idiot for saying that most of the impressions in Slam City sound so wrong and a bit racist?
Word of Slam City now?
Because Slam City had, like, one random commercial that
I saw. Yeah, because they added The Rock?
Yeah. Yes, and Brock Lesnar.
Right.
Because here's the thing. It's
well, Brock
so
Lesnar's
small
been in
again.
There already.
Oh, I didn't notice. I haven't seen all of them.
I've
but
actually watched Slam City.
It felt... No,
like
I haven't
you
well.
Total Divas.
It's really funny. No, it's really funny, I swear. I've seen some of them. But here's the thing, because with Cena, I will admit, like, here's the thing, with Cena, it sounds like a quote-unquote random white voice, right? But the thing is that, you know, but the thing with Mark Henry, though, it sounds like someone who is white doing a random black voice. That's the issue, I think, with Mark Henry.
I don't know why they couldn't slide it into the contracts for the superstars to do this shit. Because, to be honest, their impressions are making things pretty bad, I think.
Yes. because, again, it's not even like, you know, again, John Cena doesn't matter because, and I hate to say that, because it's not like it's, because think what John Cena is, it sounds like someone who is white doing his voice. It doesn't sound like someone who is of any other race trying to be like, oh, hey, my name's John Cena. Like, no, it doesn't sound like that. You know, like when sometimes some African-American comedians like Eddie Murphy and stuff try to do the quote-unquote white voice. It doesn't sound like that. What it sounds like someone who is white trying to make a black voice and be Mark Henry, which really felt off to me. And even though Santino was a joke, it just sounded even worse than Slam City. And, like, the only person who did not sound like their counterpart but sounded completely like, you know, who is ethnic and sounded perfect to me, Alberto Del Rio. He sounded smoother.
Yeah, I actually
in
agree
Slam
with
City.
That one.
Yes. But everyone else, though, just sounds like they're cheap caricatures, but it's a problem when they're already, in a way, a caricature, where it's just like, all right, you're Irish. You like to fight, and you also like to drink. Say fella. Perfect. Right? And that's how Sheamus is on the, you know, on the program. And now it's just, okay, now you're in Slam City. You're not Sheamus, but you're pretending to be Sheamus. Say fella. Lucky Charms. Perfect. Just go with it. It's like, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
But that's just my other cent of the day. Now I have 2 cents. See, I give 1 cent multiple times, and then I have more money.
Look, if you keep going, you're going to have so much sense, you're making dollars.
And if I'm making dollars, then, I mean, WWE Network, $9.99. We should purchase
yeah.
it.
And if we get past that, Matt, we can make a lot of money, even millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars? Yes. But, yeah, let's get to the actual Stephanie Megan crap.
Go
and
for
if
it.
We go over today, sorry, everyone, listen to
it's
us in the archive,
crap.
You?
We it's talk a lot more when the show's shit.
Which is very interesting, I would say. But yes, so anyway, so here's the thing. I put Stephanie Megan crap, but I was actually okay with this in some respects. Here's why. Okay, there are some people that I've heard, I don't think you or any of us, you know, in our circle really feel this way, but there are some people that are trying to say that it's like, oh yeah, they're trying to truly make us believe, as in like the fans should actually believe that Daniel Bryan cheated on his wife, where it's just like, but it's the authority saying it. You know, the authority saying something means that everything that we say, they say, should be taken with a grain of salt, you know? Where, again, okay, if you don't want to say this about Curtis Axel, if the authority said, we like Hulk Hogan, you're like, damn, like, Hulk Hogan is part of the dark side now. You know,
right.
Do not promote Hulk Hogan. So if they're saying, oh, yes, this is Megan, you know, like, I wouldn't even be surprised if somehow, if they do want to continue this for some god-awful reason, they have them actually bring up the fact that, you know, she actually works in independent wrestling. She's an actress. You hired her. You know, something crazy like that.
The thing about that I liked, or at least the attempt, was the picture with Daniel Bryan that basically was them trying to say, like, hey, look, you know, he obviously knows this woman. We are not lying to you.
It actually was funny because it wasn't Photoshop as I thought. Like, I thought it was going to be like Photoshop, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's Daniel Bryan hugging a goat in the forest. Like, I thought it was going to be completely Photoshopped.
I believe
like,
you. I understand, though.
Yeah.
We're used to that. But remember, Cena used a 30-day Photoshop trial, so don't worry about that stuff.
They don't have that anymore.
Correct.
TNA could not afford the computer to get the 30-day free Photoshop trial. But anyway, moving forward. I mean, that's how I feel about the promo itself, where obviously you mentioned to me on the phone it didn't need to happen, and I agree with you 100%.
It was so dumb.
It could have been moved to after SummerSlam. Did not need to happen.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
The thing is, I calmed down about the idea of the infidelity crap because I realized it could really mess with this, you know, Stephanie and Brie thing. But they already had reason to want to tear each other's throats out, you know, and I know that Stephanie wanted to get back at Brie and make her go to jail, woohoo. You know, that was a smart thing in concept. But the issue was, it's kind of like they did it too quickly. Like, all the shit went down so quick that now SummerSlam has to be the end of their feud. And I guess you want to move on to Nikki Bella versus Brie Bella. But how
which
did you do that? If you want to
do
infidelity, why not suggest that Daniel cheated with Nikki to make that more interesting? You know, because then you have the
Nikki-Brie
thing going on, and I don't really support the whole cheating idea in the first place. I still think it's downright stupid. But if you want to do it, at least make it with Nikki so it's involved. You know, like, so something here is laying the groundwork for the future.
I agree, because it's just the fact they used it already, they should not come back to this. And what worries me, I think, also is, yeah, if they do really try to legitimize this in a way where it's like, look, Daniel Bryan's mom believes it. It's like, no, 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 no. So we assume that won't happen. But also, it is an issue when they, you know, run, like you said, over the phone, you said it's an issue when they run a storyline with a guy who isn't there. However, that's why I can safely assume, at least for now, that I don't have a huge issue with it because I assume it's going to end. You know, like,
yeah,
at
rumors
least,
are that
or,
this thing has only been used to bring Brie to jail for the night, and I really, really, really hope that that's it. You know, but the thing is, if that was the plan, they didn't specify, they left it open-ended, because I feel like they want to be able to use this in the future, and that's what ticks me off.
It does, yes.
No,
I agree. Something that really made me laugh, though, I think you'll also like this. You mentioned the yes thing, which was hilarious, which I also thought was hilarious. The whole, this is what she said during therapy session. But what I think was even funnier, I don't know why, when Stephanie hugged Megan and said, Megan, I'm so sorry, Megan. As if it's just like, oh, I'm sorry you were with the troll man. Please accept apologies on all of our behalves.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, I'm so sorry that you were with Troll Guy Goatface. I'm so sorry. Please accept our apology. As if she has the right to say that. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. But I will say this much, though. I'm happy they specified that it was an affair with the both of them, because I got to be real honest with you. I don't want to take this show to a dark place, but I was very scared with
how... I thought they were going to do a, trigger warning, that they were going to do...
I did too. Yeah,
because of the way she was acting.
And I was really upset for a bit.
I didn't, fully
because you did mention this to me beforehand. You spoiled very little for me. But that's one of the things that you spoiled because I asked. Thankfully, that wasn't, because again, but still though, the way she made it sound, and I have to say, she wasn't the best actress, and I think that's why, because she was going for, which we got a bit of it, she was going for, I don't want to ruin their family, right? But it's kind of silly because it's also like, I don't want to ruin their family. This is live. This isn't taped, sweetie. Like, Stephanie's pointing at all the cameras. This isn't Friday Night SmackDown, our, like, C-level show. This is live. So the fact that you're here, you're kind of being a bit of a tease. You know, like, it's just really interesting. It's like, I don't want to ruin their family. You're right here. I even called you in the ring. You're right. But anyway, but seriously, though, yeah, it just sounded very awkward. Because, again, she was going for, I don't want to ruin their family. And it sounded like, Daniel, what he did was what he did. And it's like, oh, my. I was like, where are we going with this? And wherever you think you're going, please turn around. If you're using Katie Vick as a reference, please turn around and try again. But also, before we move on, you mentioned the yes lock to me before the show. And I saw it. There was nothing wrong with the camera angle. See, the problem was on both Stephanie and Brie.
Okay, so, yeah, because I told you it was weird for me. And I needed your opinion to
figure
out what
was weird.
Stephanie
was leaning the wrong way. And because she was leaning the wrong way, the lock was under Stephanie's chin on her throat.
Okay, so that's what... All right. Because I was wondering what in God's name made that look so weird, besides Stephanie sticking out her tongue.
And I think, and it's funny, what if that was why she stuck out her tongue? Like, oh, God, she's telling us so badly. No, she can't breathe. Breathe on her throat.
That scares me.
I assume that wasn't it, because they never even have... Okay, there is nothing wrong with a woman having a lock on. However, with a Bella, specifically a Brie, that lock was the sweetest thing in the world. It was like Stephanie had a pillow on her neck. So that's just my own opinion. You know, if Paige had done that, Stephanie would have been murdered had she moved the wrong way. Same with
Paige. A lot of good stuff tonight anyway, but still, yeah.
Yes. Anyway, so that's my opinion. Although I have to admit, though, when you told me about this, because you told me, Stephanie had her tongue out over the phone before I even watched Raw. In my head, it looked as if Stephanie was licking Brie's hand, because in my head, the hold was locked on perfectly on her mouth. So I thought of the old childish game. The old childish game of, if I lick this person's hand, maybe they won't kill me.
That'll get them to break the hold. Lick.
Just lick the... That's what it looked like in my head. And I went, wait a minute. When I actually saw the hold, I was like, wait, Brie Bella is applying the hold. Why would I think it's done appropriately? And, of course, we have Stephanie in it turned. She was turned, so she couldn't even lock the hold, even if Brie tried any more than the little bit that she did. It was very, very upsetting. But it's okay, though, Satish. It's okay, because there's more birthday wishes.
Go for it.
They put the name under Drew Brees because I would have thought he was Tiki Barber.
That made me really
they
happy.
They put A.J. Hawk and Aaron Rodgers' name underneath them because I would have thought they were Peyton and Eli Manning.
Were you on Google today?
No, I just remembered names that I've heard in passing. Like, my dad used to like Tiki Barber.
Then I thought about it.
I put it down. I looked at Drew Brees on the computer screen. I looked up Tiki Barber, and I got very upset with myself. If anyone doesn't know,
they
Tiki
look
Barber
nothing
is African American. Tiki Barber is African American.
Drew Brees is Wonder Bread, and Tiki Barber is a darker man.
But it's okay again because
for wrestling comparisons, Matt is saying they put the name under Dolph Ziggler, so I didn't think he was Titus O'Neil.
I thought you were going to go for Mark Henry. For some reason, I thought Curtis Axel with Mark Henry. Like, for some reason. But anyway.
No, why would anyone think anything about Curtis Axel? It doesn't even warrant an opinion.
Fair enough. During the break, they put out more presents. And I looked at some of the smaller boxes, and I went, oh, dear God, Hornswoggle's going to pop up. I actually didn't think that. That came up to me right now. And if you want to say anything bad about that, understand that WWE has probably done that before. And if they haven't, they will in the future. Because of this company.
Yep.
WWE, in the past, still in the past, is it bad to be racist? That should be their new tagline. Someone Photoshop that.
Yep.
But seriously, though, they put out more presents, which was nice. Because I sat there and I thought, good, you're not leaving a giant gap like, sorry, Hogan. I wonder, how does Hogan feel? Like, oh, cool, I got my new limited edition Dean Ambrose, brother. Damn it, he walked out of the box.
My new limited edition greaser Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. It comes with real, you know, what was it, pipe action. Just like you push the back and it's like you just, it's swinging the pipe, you know, whenever you push the back and you just hear the words just, you know, like, doesn't sound like anything like Dean. Like, it's just, as it's swinging, it's like, yeah, I'm going to beat up Seth Rollins.
You know what I would Kickstarter? A Dean Ambrose action figure with actual Dean Ambrose quotes. Just like, you know, you pull the back, the string on it like Woody.
Yeah.
I was going to steal the Money in the Bank briefcase and pawn it.
What if you did that, though? What if you did that, though? And it was the
just
same exact
like that.
Line.
Well, you know, pull it again.
All the lines. Dubbed over
again.
By Eva Marie.
Your ass is mine. His delivery for the your ass is mine line was my favorite thing on the planet.
Oh, I thought you were telling me that. I thought you were saying that because of what I just said, where it's just, instead of it being Dean Ambrose's, it's all of his lines, dubbed over by Eva Marie.
No, that would be bad.
So you pull the string, it's like, your ass is mine.
No.
I tried to pawn the Money in the Bank title case.
Can't Eva Bart, like, talk a little?
I assume as much. You want to hear something else that didn't really anger me completely, but obviously you're in my camp on this. Swagger versus Cesaro.
I don't know why that was a thing.
It's another match that didn't need to happen. That match just happened, I believe, last month. I know it did happen on SmackDown, I'll tell you that much. Cesaro looked great in that match. And, of course, it was a good match. Cesaro looked amazing in this match. But guess what? He can't keep on losing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's in this purgatory where we know what we want with him because he's talented.
Yeah.
And they're just refusing, flat-out refusing. And it's stupid.
And by the way, Cesaro did look great. The ending was amazing. And Swagger even looked damn good with the blood in his mouth at the end. But the problem is, if we knew what was going to happen here, we would have said, no, Heyman, Cesaro, stick with Coulter, and then have Jack turn face, and then make Coulter super heel with Cesaro, saying things like, you know what, Jack? You're the worst kind of American because Cesaro is trying here. Cesaro wasn't even American, but now he is, and he's the best real American there can be. Think about it, Jack. A real American who at one point wasn't even American. You're a disgrace, Jack. You know, I would have rather had that, damn it, rather than, so now we have Cesaro being the heel. We're supposed to cheer on these, I will have to use the word racist fucks. I don't want to. Right, but I have to because guess what? On main event, not tonight, last main event, I think the last televised or any time of match that had ADR, right? ADR comes out. They're on the Texas border. right? ADR comes out, gets a huge pop, talks about saying thank you.
I think his thank you promo was basically because he knew he was going to be fired.
Okay, you think so?
Yes.
I don't think they would let him do that, though.
I
thought
why?
He'd be fired immediately.
He's going to be fired anyway. I think he knew.
How did it make any
storyline sense to his character otherwise?
It
do you get what I'm saying?
But it feels like they gave him that time, which also seems weird. They should not have given him that time.
Maybe.
If they knew he was, if he slapped someone, they're not going to be like, yeah, go out and talk. No, they would have buried him either way. I think it was because they were in, here's what's weird, though. So he's in this area, which is predominantly Spanish, right? He says this stuff, like, thank you, and also gets a pop because he is Hispanic. They send out the USA guy to talk about how people should be getting deported. They use the word deported still for some reason. And, yeah, they were, you know, USA chants or more like We the People chants, but there were also a lot of C chants in ADR. And it's very upsetting because it's like, it's as if they're just like, okay, so how can we, you know, like, let's just make Coulter a face, but still have him be racist, and people will cheer him.
Yeah, racism doesn't get cheers.
No, it does, though. It did it, a little bit, in a way, because it did get We the People chants, but it's one of those times where I really sit there and think, damn, for some people, the chant itself is actually more over than the person is, I think. Because
right,
Swagger
We the People,
was...
Well, yeah, when he was racist, I remember we used to talk about this, We the People still got a lot of fuel behind
mm-hmm.
them. Even when they were here.
And also because Coulter is also good as well, you know, which
mm-hmm.
does actually help it. But the problem now is that since he's a face, he can't be saying people need to be deported. Even Lana and Rusev.
Yeah, it's
but anyway,
kind
we'll
of
get
a
bit,
weird
we'll get
thing
to, that more,
to say.
We'll get to that more a bit later. But what I want to mention right now is just the fact that it's just upsetting because, again, it's like, if you notice, Portland did not cheer for Deportlandia.
No.
They were like, how dare you, in a way. And I was like, damn, like, I think WWE, like I said, finally proved. Because when they said that about Daniel Bryan, they were like, see, Big Show can do the yes chant. Maybe it's just the yes chant that's over. It's like, guys, shut your mouths, you're idiots. In this case, though, I can actually see it. You
mm-hmm.
know? Where they're trying to say, yeah, deport Lana. And you know, and of course, deport them both. And all of a sudden, they get interrupted, obviously, which was really cool how they interrupted them. And then Cole, I swear to God, we've talked about this before, but it's just so funny. Cole says, how disrespectful. So the whole deportation thing was cool.
Mm-hmm.
But heaven forbid you interrupt an old guy.
And then you're being disrespectful.
it's mind-blowing because it's just, they actually expect people to cheer on racism. It's insanity. Like, because at least there was a time where they were like, all right, Zeb's a heel, and we want to make him into the heel that Matt likes. They know me. The heel that Matt likes. They're really outlandish. So what can we make him say? Deport Paige? Deport Paige. You know?
Yeah.
Like, things like that. Like, just very outlandish. Not really, I mean, even when it was kind of based in reality and we were like, oh, God, that's borderline. It was still funny because he said it, and then normally Jack would get his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay, or, you know, it looked like, you know, he is Coulter would. But now they're supposed to say, we love you, Zeb Coulter, and Zeb is supposed to be like, I love you too if you're here legally and kind of not Spanish. Like, Zeb, you really didn't change, actually, at all. That's kind
of
bad.
Yeah, exactly, I agree.
You know, yes, anyway, so, either way, let's move forward to Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho.
Which was one of the highlights of the night, which wasn't hard considering the way the night went.
Yeah.
But, you know, totally a highlight, actually.
Most definitely. There was one issue, though, with it. And the camera cuts were really bad, I think. Because at first they were nice.
I agree.
But eventually,
the stage interview setting was weirdish.
Yes. Well, first off, it's just weird that he sat down there. But then, actually, you know, with Bray, like, I feel like it's something he wouldn't do. But then getting his message across, it felt like, you know what? Yeah, it's something he would do, so long as he could
mm-hmm.
speak, you know? The problem is, at first, I loved the camera cuts. But they became jarring because I get motion sickness rather easily. Now, thinking back to it right now, I didn't get it at the time, but really thinking back, I'm starting to get a headache. Like, I feel like it was just so, like,
See, for me, like, you know, if I watch a movie with a fight scene, sometimes
right.
I have an issue because if the camera cuts are done badly, not only can I not follow the fight scene, it actually makes me dizzy. And
exactly.
That was kind of one of the things for me here where it was like,
yeah.
That being said, the actual content was incredible.
Oh, Bray's great. Bray's great. And he was getting into Jericho's mind, which is great.
Which is great.
I know, it is. It is. Oh, yeah, it's great. You know what wasn't so great?
Never once did I claim to be a savior. Excuse me, Bray?
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is Bray. So that's subtle ways of like, wait a minute, that man is a fucking liar. You know, subtle ways, I assume. Yeah, I do like that whole, like, you know, Bray's like, I am a messiah, I am not, you know. And it's like, you know, I am wonderful, I am amazing, I never lie, I never. It's like, wait a minute, yes you do.
I'm a
lie.
That's good, because he should be a liar. He should be dastardly, and he should use whatever he, manipulative. You know, he needs to be that kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. Did you have the same feeling that I did when he said, I figured it out, the key to the universe? Were you the only one, was I the only one who thought Wyatt's versus Goldust and Stardust, fund it now?
No, I thought that the key to the universe was in my head. I just thought Stardust was sitting somewhere. Like, you did?
Yeah, like, so you found the key to the universe. It's just, you know, it's just, I'm trying to do this thing with Jericho. Like, what if Stardust just immediately...
Why didn't you tell me?
What if Stardust interrupted the interview, but they didn't know he did. We just see that he did. Like, he just kind of popped his head out for a second, winked, and then went right back down into wherever, underneath the cameras.
That would have been good.
I would have enjoyed it. But either way, yeah, so overall... Obviously, you know, big highlight of the night. That is something you need to do for basically for everyone going into a pay-per-view. Like, I understand you can't have Rollins versus Ambrose. And yeah, Ambrose did appear out of, you know, a Christmas present. That's obvious. But it's just there's certain things where, you know, I always say this, brand split. I feel like there would be a bit of a, you know, it would be a bit easier to have certain kind of matchups, especially if, let's say, there's a brand split and you're kind of noticing, damn, the same people are fighting the same people, right? You can say, like, a little tiny exchange. We're like, hey, guys, could so-and-so fight on our show for the night? You're not going to use them, probably. You know, want them to beat up this guy. Sure. Like, little kind, like, where it's like, oh, hey, look, you know, RVD versus Rollins. This is so cool. RVD is actually a SmackDown guy, you know, and Rollins is a Raw guy. This is really cool. Let's say, because if you think about it, SmackDown's only 2 hours long, where Raw is 3 hours, you know? So you could have, in theory, some talent work on SmackDown and not actually work on Raw and not work on SmackDown, if you were to go with my brand split theory, which hopefully does happen because of the Raw Super Show theories coming up, or the rumors coming up, where they're actually going to make Raw and SmackDown be filmed on one night again.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine that they would do a brand split. And if not, well, then hopefully, not hopefully, but a lot of people on your show are going to get injured. And I feel really bad. You know, it's just like it's just upsetting because I don't want people to get injured because obviously injuries. But WWE needs to learn that after a while, it's their fault. It's not the person's fault for working a certain way, unless it's Swagger. You know, they are putting these guys through a grinder. And soon, either everyone will be fired or injured.
That was really,
you know,
encouraging, Matt.
Well, let's go on. Let's keep the encouraging train going. AJ Lee versus Eva Marie. All right, good night, everyone.
Okay, first off, same reaction for Maddie and I last night.
Oh,
this,
of course.
Again? Again.
Yeah, and of course. Because
and,
here's the thing. This can
and
happen.
And it got even worse.
This can happen, actually. But guess where it can happen? SmackDown. Main event. Anywhere that isn't Monday Night Raw.
It just ticks me off because of the fact that Eva Marie now has a pinfall victory over AJ Lee.
Well, don't worry, they won't use it.
I know, but oh my God.
I know.
The only thing that made me happy was Paige's beautiful poem.
Yes. Yes, her poem was nice. It really was. So, I mean, there we go. That was nice. And, of course, like we mentioned earlier, people took the Internet's advice. I mean, there were, you know, I don't know if you noticed, people were cheering AJ Punk, which is good.
Which is
if you're going
than
to
CM Punk.
That's the thing, because the internet has said, you know, cage side seats, I know there were a lot of comments saying, if you really do want to chant, you know, like Punk's name or whatever, chant like AJ Punk, because they're together and you're kind of supporting their marriage in like a way. Where chanting CM Punk, sadly, it makes people think that you care more about him than you do her, which is not their intent at all. You know, I assume
not.
That a lot of people... No, because I feel like most people just kind of jump into something to feel cool, you know, so it wasn't like, oh, we don't like AJ, but sadly some people, in my opinion, some idiots, were thinking that, like, oh, well, they must just not like AJ, because people cheer CM Punk when they think a match is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat there and I thought, I hope this person is trolling on the internet, but you never know with stupidity, you know, it's very hard. I was just hoping that I didn't catch the stupid through the internet. Also... My question to you is, do you know about the Eva thing? About
do
her,
I know about the Eva thing?
At the end, after the quote-unquote win, right? I'm still debating it. After the win, when Eva was, you know, she was kind of getting out of the camera shot, right? So there's, you know, so Paige does her promo. And then after that, when AJ comes out, Eva's injured?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that? Like the rumors on that and things like that, or no?
The weird neck thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. It was odd,
okay.
To say the least.
Yeah, if anyone doesn't know, if anyone maybe it didn't click because Paige's promo was so good, her poem, you loved her poem so much, you were like, oh yeah, Eva Marie's injured because that, who cares? Oh, and she's
mm-hmm.
getting beaten up by AJ? Wonderful. This makes it all right. Well, wrong, because Eva comes out right after she beats AJ, does that little kiss thing. Then she has to get out of the camera's way. So you're like, oh, that's why she's not there. I guess she's ducked down. Then they come back to her, and her neck hurts for some reason. And people, like, she's holding her neck. And it's like, oh, well, she must be selling. But selling what? So there's
selling
a lot of
what?
These, yeah, like, what are you selling? You just came out of the ring after your roll-up. Like, what? Did your roll-up hurt you? No. Like, you come out of the ring, you do the kiss, and then all of a sudden, you know, to the crowd, and all of a sudden it's like, ow, my neck hurts. I remember.
Mm-hmm.
So we're wondering, there's a lot of rumors that maybe she forgot to sell. Because they've actually, there's some people that have said, hey, look at this video in this minute, and you'll see referees come over to her. And it's supposed to be a thing where it's like, you know, if we actually were able to see it, it'd be like, oh, are you okay? But it was probably like, you freaking idiot.
Yeah.
Where, so, I mean, again, if it makes you feel any better, she did win, but she may be bumped down again.
And
so,
I guess she should be.
She should be. If the rumors are true and she didn't sell an injury that she should have, that's, you know, where it's like, oh yeah, play to the crowd when you don't have to do a promo and then get beaten, you know, someone's doing a promo and then you get beaten up after, then yeah, she should be bumped down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry, you're in the, you know, you already had your, okay, this shouldn't be a practice match. You already had your chance for practice matches. This should
right.
not be your, yeah, like, I mean, this isn't a pay-per-view, thankfully, but this is not time for, you know, you to mess up. You've already had your mess-up time. You know, there are women right now who are clawing. Like, for all we know, Megan is like a, you know, is just a female Daniel Bryan. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
for all we know.
Act.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, look at Brock Lesnar. You know, he's pretty damn good. He just can't, don't let him speak, or rather, don't let him yell. So yeah, that's what I'm saying, where it's just, there are people who are really good, but it's like, you know what, like, or look at Cesaro, where it's like, he's good on the mic, but he doesn't have to be super duper good on the mic, let's say like someone like The Rock, where it's just like, no, just go out and kick some ass, Cesaro. For all we know, Megan is amazing. I don't know her, but for all we know, she's just the best thing. But I will admit, they might look at her and be like, you know, she kind of looks plain. I think she looked great, but you don't, you know, WWE, the way they work, they're like, this is all she'd ever be good for. Just some two-bit infidelity role. And it's upsetting, but again, we're looking at this through their eyes. And it would be upsetting if they use that and think, like, oh, we don't need Megan. It's like, but Megan's amazing.
Right.
And you look at Eva Marie, and it's like, Eva Marie's here, and she's botching simple things like, ow, my neck hurts. And I admit, could you or I do something like that? Of course we could. In the indie leagues, you know, not in the whole WWE
leagues.
Like, not in that whole WWE place that everyone talks about. I see you on the telly.
Your voice shift, so...
I don't know. Leave me alone. Let's talk about John Cena. Back
sure.
in my day, he was a rapper.
Your day can't have been that long ago, sir.
It must have been. I think Paul Heyman wore hats back then.
Nice.
But yeah. But,
so
yes.
The Cena promo. It started off in a way that kind of pissed me off, and it just kind of left.
Actually, for me, it's the exact opposite. It started off wonderfully, I think, and then it delved into shit. But go on.
Oh, it's funny, because I guess for me, it started off kind of stupid, and I was like, wow, this is not the scene I was hoping for. And then the rest of it, the rest of it bothered me, I don't know if it's more or less, but it bothered me because it was done 300 times before.
Yes, yes.
Like,
I liked one of his jokes.
There was nothing different about that promo in my head.
Yes.
And it really bothered me because I want him to sound like he's really scared and that Brock is actually going to dismantle him. And he doesn't sound like he's scared, and I guess it bothers me. And then you go ahead and do this whole, is this the same promo where he says, I need to be like a monster? It is, right? Or was that later on where he says that he needs to be a beast?
I think it was. What's sad is that I've actually forgotten that already because all I'm focused on is one of his jokes, the fact that he even said damn jokes. One of his jokes that I actually enjoyed was the joke about the middle finger. Take my arm off. Take my fingers off. I'm giving you one. I was like, fair enough. That's actually clever. That's something you could have ended it with, but I don't like anything else where like it felt as if
I didn't like Punk-bitchitis because I thought that was stupid.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I didn't like at all. And
here's the thing. I'll say this much. Punk-bitchitis was like, it wasn't the best thing in the world, but obviously, again, it wasn't witty. It was one of those, the children go, oh, see? You know? The problem, though, I think, is that in general, where he was like, I don't care what actual diseases Brock Lesnar had. Where it was getting weird. Where it was like, I don't care what diseases Brock Lesnar could ever have. And it's like, and also, he made, what was the actual joke that he made? It was his real disease, and then he said hepatitis?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are you doing there, guys? Like, did you just go, like, okay, which one is the worst one we can use? Like, you know, AIDS. All right, let's go down the scale now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, so we know the worst one we can do. You know, like, I feel like it's just a weird thing where it's just like, let's just see what we can do, like, with bad diseases, you know what I mean? And let's see one that we can use that's insulting, but not too bad. It's like, no, but all of them are bad because that's a thing that Brock actually has. I mean, it's mostly an excuse, the way Heyman put it, but it's something Brock really did have, though.
This is the same promo where he said the crap where he's like, I need to be a monster. I need to be a beast to beat the beast. And while I wanted to like that, you know, Maddie pointed out the obvious to me when we were in discussion. I mean, we just had a whole 3-month thing going on where you basically resiliently said, I will never be a monster. And then you just calmly are like, hey, you know, I've been thinking about it. You know, I had a few beers and I think I got to be a monster to beat this Brock guy. So, you know, that stuff that you heard me say, don't worry about it. You know, it's not important.
Well, you know,
I'm
going to
be a guy who I'm not proud of on Sunday because that's what I'm going to need to do to keep this title.
May I interject here? See, the issue is that Brock Lesnar did not threaten any children. Because if Brock Lesnar threatened any children, Cena would have actually been like, oh, thank goodness. Like, come here, man. Give me a hug. Sadly, Brock Lesnar only threatened John Cena. Had Brock Lesnar hurt anyone around John Cena, anyone related, made fun of anyone near John Cena, like if Brock Lesnar had said, screw you, Jerry Lawler, Cena would have went nuts. Like Cena could have stabbed him on the spot, like, don't you ever. But sadly, all Brock Lesnar said, you know, Brock Lesnar said, I'm going to beat you up, you know. But if he did anything like that, it would have been like, oh, well, you know, I mean, whatever.
No, because it's just,
you know,
like, how crooked is it? How crooked is it, dude, though, that Cena's basically saying that, yeah, I'm going to be a monster now. Not when Bray Wyatt was threatening the children.
Yeah.
But now that Brock is threatening the title.
Right. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'm really sorry. Don't worry. Continue. But before you continue, I have to say, we're probably going to get into, you know, archive time soon. We have 1 minute left. Thank you guys for listening to us yet again. If you want to listen to us more, go into the archives because this is still going on. The party will not end. We're still going on. And, yeah, Those Guys on the Radio is our Facebook. Definitely like our page to see more of our shows. We usually do Dragon Ball Z shows, Dragon Ball Z movies, This Week in Comics, which involves certain comics in the week. We also do pay-per-views. This Sunday we are doing SummerSlam. And also email us if you think about any promotion opportunities. We can promote you on our show, thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com. Our Twitter is thoseguysradio, where we update you on either the funny cat pictures or our actual episodes, whichever one. And, yeah. So, Satish, say something stupid.
No funny cat pictures. But, yeah. So
there we go. That's a stupid thing that you said.
Yeah. There we go. We're even.
Yeah.
But, no. On a serious note.
Mm-hmm.
How crooked is it that this guy, you know, when it comes to defending his title, will willingly just go ahead and say, I'll become a monster to defend myself and the title. But Bray's threatening the children, threatening the WWE universe, and he's just like, nah, I don't need to kick it into high gear.
I mean, it's weird, though, because he did, let's be honest, he did do it, but not with the children. It only came to Jerry Lawler. Also, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll continue in the archives.
I think it cut off. We'll continue, so they won't know where you're continuing, sadly, where we're
continue.
Thanks, Satish.
One day.
They'll never know, Satish, unless they look in the archives. Also, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys After Hours. I want to play some nice jazz music, but we're talking about John Cena. He does not deserve that.
You know what I want to
do? What?
I want to actually do an entire podcast with Too Cool's music in the background.
Will do.
Like, you know, the whole You Look Fly Today one. Not the Bangin' It one. The Rikishi one, where it's like...
Oh.
I was thinking about it today, and I was like, you know, it would actually be really calm to just have that play in the background.
Fair enough.
We'll
do that.
You know.
But anyway, before we move on, because we can take 2 hours just on this alone. Yeah, I do think he was calm. He was calm, I have to admit. He was. Like, I admit his thing. I know you're saying he should have been scared. I feel as if him being scared, it sucks because it should be John Cena's character. But John Cena, here's the thing. Cena has won so much. Why should he actually be scared? Let's be honest here. He needs this beating to actually remember that he's a human.
Mm-hmm.
He needs this. So he will get this, I assume. If he doesn't,
that's the thing. I'm working under the impression that I'm still, you know, afraid, that John might win.
If he wins, we know what we do, and they'll see their network numbers decrease, and not only will Lesnar win, but he may actually, like, murder John Cena next time around.
Which
being
would be
Knight
cool.
Of champion. Yeah, not murder, but, I mean, pretty damn hurt. You know, again, not hurt. He can still work, but, I mean, he looks like he's dead. Anyway, point is that, yeah, you know, I think that John was good in the promo. I don't think he was that bad until it came down the jokes, and I thought, this is bullshit, because there's a difference between John not being frightened, like, I'm so scared, versus, so, let's make fun of Brock Lesnar. And I was
that's
like,
what I'm
why
saying.
Are you, like, why, because...
I don't need her to be shaking
yeah.
his boots and pissing. What
yeah,
I do
right.
need, though, is don't poke the beast, John.
Yeah, like, and what's sad is, by doing that, it actually makes the kids think that wrestling is fake. Because here's the thing. I know it might be a jump. I know we would always wait for the pay-per-views anyway, but we don't even have, like, we didn't even have, like, Heyman in his promo thinking, okay, this is what Cena's going to say. Say, you know what? He's going to beat up, my client is going to beat up John Cena at the pay-per-view. He will not touch him until then. Because my client does not, you know, he does this only for the money. He does blah, 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 blah. He will not do this on a, you know, on a B-level show like Raw. He only does this at A-level pay-per-views or something, right? That makes sense. But he didn't have the time to say that because it didn't need to be said until John Cena starts poking the beast. And it's like, well, why doesn't Brock Lesnar just beat the hell out of him now? Like, what? Like, if someone was saying shit about me, and I'm in a company where it's all about beating other people up, I'd beat them up. Like, they didn't even sign any contracts. You could have at least had a contract signing. I mean, hell, here comes the pain. The video game, the SmackDown video game, had a contract signing where if you wanted to be face about it, a good guy, you could sign the contract and then both of you can't even touch each other until the pay-per-view. Or, I was Brock Lesnar and I was a heel. I pretended to sign the contract. And then all of a sudden, the other guy signed it. I beat the hell out of the other guy. And he couldn't touch me until the pay-per-view.
Nice heel move.
Yes. I was Brock Lesnar, so I was trying to get all the titles. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I got it.
But anyway, Yeah, I just think that, I don't know, I just think that they, you know, they did this obviously the wrong way, and hopefully in the, you know, they'll, again, hopefully Lesnar will win, Cena will lose, at least at SummerSlam, because if they don't, huge issues. Anyway, Hulk Hogan birthday wishes. They put the name under Larry King because Hulk Hogan would have thought it was Stan Lee. He would have known him from doing crack in the 80s.
Crack in the 80s.
No, I have to be serious with you, though. Like,
I know.
Stan Lee did a lot of drugs. I don't know if you know. Like, yeah, no, Marvel was
it
nuts
is
in the 70s. Hello, everyone. Marvel was psychedelic in the 70s, all right? There's a reason why you look at some of the stuff that was drawn. Like, think about Galactus. I mean, yeah. But think about it, though. Galactus was made in the I believe, 70s, 80s. Think about that. Drugs were used.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Yes. Also, they put Georgia Florida line in there because they wanted to confuse Matt Morrero. Seriously.
Did that to piss off the people who don't like the song Cruise?
Okay, I don't know what any of that means.
Damn it. You're not up on music, are you?
I like when Barry Bonds wins at the games that he plays.
This isn't even sports. This is music.
Yeah,
you
I don't know
at least
what that
when I like when Kanye West interrupts people at that music thing. That would
like
work.
I like when Kanye West's wife isn't a troll. Baby.
Hobbit,
thank you. I was like, I was wrong. Baby, you ain't
the
Hobbit, right?
Yeah, that was a wonderful episode.
Which I don't even watch a lot, by the way, but I saw that episode and I was in love. Baby, like, you ain't the Hobbit, though, right? Like, you would tell me, though, right? But anyway, so, okay. So, when Brie came out, though, I want to ask you something. When Brie came out, you know, that whole Stephanie thing, you know, whatever. I'm not going to talk too much about it because, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. But when she came out, did you notice that she kind of tripped?
Yes.
It sounds so silly. It's just that I have to bring it up because I almost choked on my food. Because I just thought, you know, I wondered if there was something on the floor that would make her trip like gum. I thought I saw something. Nope, just almost tripped over her own feet.
It is what
it is. It makes me look forward to SummerSlam.
Two people who haven't wrestled in a very long time.
Yeah. And oh no, Steph got Brie arrested. Damn her. Oh no. Will Brie not make it to SummerSlam? Except
she's
that she just got released. Yeah, she's been released. Oh,
from the company.
Exactly. Yeah, right? Oh, swerve. I wonder what, like, Daniel Bryan would actually do if she was released while he was out.
He'd be pretty pissed, I think.
I think he would. You think he might run over to TNA?
No.
He can be paid in vegetarian food, which is being lied to, by the way. They're actual just normal burgers. They've
That's
lied
terrible.
To Daniel Bryan. That actually is terrible. Never do that to someone. If you do that to someone, you're basically the devil. I'm sorry. Like, never do that to someone. That's very wrong. But hey, Dolph Ziggler fought Heath Slater. Now, here's the problem with this. See, they're trying to do something wonderful, but they're doing it all wrong, as usual, right? Because here's the thing. See, for me, they have many people on the roster in limbo that they've had in limbo for so long. You know, just basically not even use them sometimes. And now, you know, because people have been released or whatever, they need to, like, you know, push people up. But the problem is that they're doing the random people, where it's like, Slater didn't need this. You want to know who needed this? That Cesaro fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know who maybe needed it possibly more than Cesaro? Big E. Just anyone from the Nation who can now be a heel. Hell, Bo Dallas, who was surprisingly missing from from Monday night's show.
No
and
Bo Dallas,
Tuesday's show.
No Sandow, no Adam Rose,
yeah.
No Emma. NXT brand people are, you know, just saying.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, okay, did they go to NXT for, like, the day or something? Like, you know, they filmed some stuff maybe, and maybe, like, that's why they're not here. But, and, you know, they don't want to, like, pay for their air flight because, you know, cheap. So they're not going to pay for them to come all the way back so quickly. So maybe they're – it's just strange, though, because, again, no mention. As if Bo Dallas didn't just lose the streak or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sucks because, again, if they had to – because it's funny, right? Because you looked at this show and you could say, oh, no, you know, like, they – the same people are fighting. They release so many people. It's like, no, they actually have enough people where they could have a jobbers, a mid-card, and a and a main, you know, event level card for two different shows.
Yeah, almost as if, like,
that song
if they
is
did.
Playing.
What?
I hate that song is playing. I just, I'm saying some heavy shit, and it's like, I know you were saying.
I think this is the best possible background music ever. I'm being honest with you. Like,
I know.
If we're having a good, like, podcast and things are, like,
right.
positive vibrations, I cannot think of something that suits better. Because
okay.
it doesn't bother our talking. And just in the background,
yeah.
like, man, I can jive with these guys.
Right.
Because this was, like, one of the songs where I think growing up, it was almost impossible not to feel comfortable with it or, like, just want to, like, move your head. Like,
right.
So you hear this behind us, and it's just suddenly people are like, man, those guys aren't that bad.
Yeah, those guys are not. But anyway,
no.
So you were saying about Bo Dallas or something?
Yeah, no Bo Dallas. No Damian Sandow.
Yeah.
No Adam Rose. That kind of sucks. I know, like, it's weird because, yeah, maybe you want to argue that on a go-home show they're not going to be around, but you did so much crap that didn't belong on a go-home show in terms of it being bad
mm-hmm.
in 3 hours of Raw.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
you
get
could
it.
Have had, you could have had Bo Dallas, like, doing something, at least, like, something. I mean, the fact that we're trying to build up Slater as competent after he you know, got a win off Seth Rollins, technically. He, you know, he, what was it? He did had a face turn. That didn't matter because now he's against Dolph and he hit him. And it's like, you know, and then he also won that match. And it's like, see, look, he has a winning streak now. It's like, look, I know it's another joke streak, but they shouldn't have streaks like that anymore for guys. Like, don't
right.
do that. Unless it's someone who's on their way to the top. And dear God, Slater should not be on his way to the top. I'm sorry. Also, Titus wasn't even out with him, which sucks when they do that, because they don't even have their manager guys as, like, I'm sorry, their tag team partners as managers anymore for some reason. So, like, if Ryback came
thing.
Out. Yeah. So if Ryback came out to fight a match, to, you know, on, like, on Friday for SmackDown, or technically tonight, because being, you know, filmed tonight, you could see that he'd come out and no Curtis Axel for some reason. I don't understand their ability to just, we can only use one, it's okay.
Apparently.
But there were some good things. I laughed extremely hard at the Marine 5
yeah,
being a thing.
I did.
I also laughed very hard at Miz comparing the Marine to James Bond. And JBL was just organically funny by pulling out Miz's mic.
That was interesting, because that was an accident, right?
Yeah. They were pissed about that because during mid-sentence, JBL must have moved his leg or something and pulled out his mic, because if you think about it, it could have been worse because Miz was also standing up instead of sitting down. So it was in JBL's way, possibly. So it gets pulled out during mid-sentence, and the flow is completely destroyed. And JBL is just laughing like, look, I'm actually your supporter. I'm a heel, man.
Yeah, no, it was really funny. And then he turns it on Cole later on there. It was like, you have to be my biggest cheerleader. And Cole just had this sound in his voice like, well, you got me there.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, can you not rebound from this stuff?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they can, because at least for... Because here's the thing. Honestly, what could Cole say? I used to be bad. Now I'm good again. It was great, though, with JBL, because it's like... JBL was perfect, I think, because there was no way he could rebound from it. That was a complete accident. I love everything you do. I swear. Please.
Yeah.
Like, that was perfect, I think. But it was... And that's the thing. Some of the best stuff is organic. Where on SmackDown, that may have been cut. You know what I mean? Or they would have focused on a camera shot that would have been just on... You know, Ziggler, and because that's the thing, sometimes the funniest things, not all the time, but sometimes, like, I've seen on sets that I've been on, very few, very limited, but still, the funniest things are organic. Things that I was embarrassed about made it to the final cut, and I was like, you son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on forward, shall we? Orton versus Sheamus, which was not the main event, even though it looked like it would be the main event match.
Yeah, that was, it was a weird mix-up because, you know, to quote Maddie going into the match, I forgot
right.
Sheamus existed for a bit, honestly.
Yeah.
That's what she said to me. And it was weird because creative has buried him in a way that, you know, a lot of us just were like, hey, Sheamus, good
yeah,
to see you, buddy.
He wasn't around for a while because apparently he was out
of
state.
He was sick, right?
At first, there were rumors that he was sick. Then it was just, oh, nope, he's on vacation, tee-hee. And then he just wasn't around. And then he just appears, and then he's basically been buried on his way back, which is such a weird thing to say about Sheamus. We would never say that ever. We would always laugh if someone tried to say that, because he was mid-card John Cena. But for some reason, because they don't want to do anything with his title, they're burying him without realizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want to, because clearly they don't want to unify the titles, which is genius, by the way. Don't ever do that. But they also don't want to put his title up for grabs. Although, I'll say this much, maybe like the Usos did an open challenge tonight on Main Event, he may do an open challenge on SmackDown and we're unaware.
That would be a bit
because
more
he was because he was very protected in this tag match.
Yeah.
So, for argument's sake, that could happen. We don't know the rumors. We don't know the We don't know the card as of yet. But yeah, for all we know, that could happen. Because they don't want to, because obviously, I mean, they do have a lot on the card already. I can understand why they don't want to just add matches to be short, or which is upsetting, they add another 10-minute match with Sheamus versus whoever. They have to shorten a Divas match now. You know, that's what they would do. So, honestly, their card right now should be set in stone with some really funny promos. And if you want to give him a dark match, not dark match, you know, a pre-show, or if you just want to give him a title shot on SmackDown, see, that's the thing, you know, that I think, I hope you'll agree on, where if they're not going to give them title shots at the pay-per-views, they better damn well do it before or after the pay-per-view to at least make you think, okay, look, this is happening. Right? Instead of just not doing it at all. Because sometimes we've just had them not done at all. Where it's like, well, if we can't do them here, we just won't try.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So even though they might they're probably not going to have a tag team title match at SummerSlam, at least they had it on the main event the week before. Especially gets you pumped, too, I think, for SummerSlam. Because in theory, anything could have happened. The problem was, of course, on main event, they gave the Usos Ryback-Axel and RVD and Sheamus. So we immediately knew where that was going. But, you know, but still, in theory, anything could have happened. Like, we could have had Ryback and Curtis Axel win it.
Right, in theory.
Which I think would be cool if you really want to give them a push. Give them the damn titles. There's no reason why the Usos need to win for, I mean, God knows how many months since WrestleMania. Think about it.
Right.
They've been champions for a while now. Anyway, but yeah. I mean, what did you think of Orton versus Sheamus as a match?
It was Orton versus Sheamus as a match. You know what I mean?
It wasn't
nothing
bad. I liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I liked it because these are two veteran guys who can go in the ring. It wasn't spectacular. And
honestly,
it's weird because I didn't want it to be spectacular.
This is how I feel. Right. This is how I feel.
Go ahead.
I personally feel like it could main event a pay-per-view. However, it shouldn't. Because we have so much new blood now, and a lot cooler characters and, you know, wrestlers, that it shouldn't be the main event. But if you told me, like, oh, this is going to be the World Heavyweight title match, right, you know, for a pay-per-view, I wouldn't have a problem with it. My problem is that now that we've combined the titles, now it's, or even WWE, because sometimes we have had better World Heavyweight champions than we've had WWE at the time. So long as you have two titles. But now that we have one, this cannot be a pay-per-view anymore. This can't be a main event anymore. Which is, as we mentioned before, why it's so upsetting. Where these are two really good guys. They, you know, they're very good in the ring. And, of course, they've been in the main event before. But now it's just, well, we can't have both of them in the main event now, because if they're fighting over the title, we now don't have Roman Reigns. We don't have Cesaro. Although that's more of our thing. But we don't have Cesaro. We don't have Ambrose. We don't have Rollins. We don't have Cena. We don't have Bray Wyatt. We don't have so many people. So now it's just, nope, we must put these guys lower on the card. It's sad. I wanted to say ADR, but then I remembered. But, yeah, we don't have a lot of people.
That's sad.
In the main event.
ADR's down, too.
Yeah.
Who we didn't necessarily dislike.
Mm-hmm. Because, and also, yeah, I don't know. I feel like this match, which was a good match, I don't think it should have been before Hogan's birthday, like right before. Because having it be right before the birthday makes it look weaker, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I don't know. And I feel like, here's the thing. A match, I don't think, should have been before Hogan's birthday. Even though it would have seemed weird, I think we should have had two segments. Where, okay, the Cena-Lesnar thing should have been right before the birthday celebration. Because I think having Lesnar open the show is perfect. Having Cena do his thing, though, the fact that it was done, like, really, like, in the middle of the night, made it feel less impactful.
Yeah,
as if, like,
but
hey, guys,
money, right?
That's your main event. That's your main event, guys. Like, have that lead into Hogan's birthday if you need to make Hogan's birthday the main event, which you don't need to, but I think I told you this. I don't think we said it on the podcast. I said, it's one of those situations where Hogan's birthday has to happen, right? It has to happen. You can't choose how it happens. You have to choose when it happens. Opening it up, this, you know, having it open up the show really underwhelms it in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can work, but it seems weird for Hogan. Having it in the middle of the show would be terrible. You have to have it as the main event. But by doing that right before your, you know, your go-home, you know, right in your go-home show before your SummerSlam pay-per-view, it makes your main event that's for the freaking pay-per-view seem very uneventful, especially when they didn't have it lead in. So
Correct. They
really shot themselves in the foot here because Orton versus Sheamus looks weak, and Cena versus Lesnar looks extremely weak.
Right.
Yeah. But also, how weird would this have been? What if Sheamus' title was on the line tonight?
That would be interesting.
And Orton won. Orton doesn't need it. But what if that's a way to transfer it over to Reigns somehow? That's the thing. What if it's a way to transfer it over to Reigns somehow?
I wouldn't have complained.
Like, that is his way to, you know, push to the top. Especially look at a guy like Reigns. Look at a guy like, you know, at Sheamus. They can hold two titles, you know, at the same time.
Right.
The issue, yeah, and then drop one. You know, it's certain people. Like, certain people, it does, you know, it's for jokes. Like, I remember, you know, we were trying to make some funny WWE 13 stories where it's like, Zack Ryder wins all the titles. Like, just because, you know what I mean? That's what will happen in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so now we're at the main event, the part of the night that no one could miss. Right near the end of our show, we're at Hulk Hogan's birthday.
Finally.
Yes.
Did take us a while, not going to lie.
Yeah, I know. No, but seriously, I want it to happen more often, celebrating people's birthdays, but at the same time, I also do not want it to be in the main event slot.
I can totally get that.
Yeah. So, because honestly, I think the idea of who can come back is actually very nice. Like, it really is surprising. Honestly, I will admit, I think that along with, because here's the thing. Of course, as you mentioned, Lesnar is what drew people in. But I will say that Hulk Hogan himself, I do not believe drew people in anymore with the way they've been using him over and over and over recently. However, the idea of his birthday and people coming back to celebrate his birthday, I do believe that did intrigue at least some people to think, who are we going to see this week? You know? And they didn't disappoint. You know, they had some nice people there, wrestling-wise. I mean, we had Mean Gene, we had Jimmy Hart, who I think Jimmy Hart doesn't age, I'm not sure.
Jimmy Hart very impressively does not age. I'll give you
yes.
that much.
Yeah, we had Kevin Nash, and we had Scott Hall, which was weird. And it's okay, though, because Hulk Hogan is now part of the NWO again, which, I mean...
Right. Actually,
it happens. Happens every once in a while. How did you feel when Mean Gene said, Hulkster, I can tell you, I've never had a birthday like this. Was I the only one that thought, you know, it's just, I just, something, like, if this was the Attitude Era or the early 2000s, I felt like Mean Gene would have followed that up with, there's no drugs, no hookers, what kind of shithole is this?
Yeah, well, my interpretation with the line was like, you know, back in the Attitude Era would just be like, yeah, I've never seen a party like this. It's so fucking lame.
Yeah,
and
so
just
damn.
Imagine the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
Where is everything? Where is everything? What's going on, Hulk? Where's the crack cocaine? Give
yeah,
me
right?
my angel dust.
But, like, and it's funny because here's the thing. You heard that in my, you know, stupid impression and just the Tish talking. Hear that all in Mean Gene's voice. And just pause the episode and laugh for a bit.
I swear if Mean Gene actually said, where's the angel dust in his voice, I would be very happy.
But yeah, I mean... And also, by the way, you know, there was a lot about, I think, the birthday thing that was nice. It's just, again, this is the... Because here's the thing, ready? If we had a brand split, I'm so sorry, everyone, we could have had a lot of cool blow-off stuff on SmackDown. But we're not going to have that. Raw was, you know, supposed to be for blow-off. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm wondering if they're maybe saving random Bo stuff for SmackDown or things like that. We're just like, wait a minute. So you're saying you kept the guy to only use him on another show? Yes, we've made a slight division. A division, didn't you? Well, yes, but it wasn't a split of any kind. Oh, so what split of any kind?
This is the talk we had last night, of course.
Yes, just
so
to each other.
So a labeling division,
yes.
Right? It's a brand split. No, it's a labeling division. We're dividing them by our given labels.
Yeah, exactly. Brock Lesnar came out, and I was hoping that when Brock Lesnar came out, as we mentioned before, I was hoping that he would F5 Hulk Hogan several times just to show Hogan, to tell him, stop. Stop it. Because Hulk Hogan keeps on coming out and says, hey, I can still wrestle. Hogan, stop.
Stop wrestling. Don't think about it.
Stop it. Stop it. And, yeah, because that's what I think to do that to Hogan. Where, like, I think they need to get, like, someone like Kenta, right? Where it's just like someone who's just I sadly have not seen the Kenta match as of yet. I'm going to solve this immediately. Don't you all worry. But I want to have someone who's just, I believe, very fast. You know, can do. And it's just, you just have like Hulk Hogan there. It's like, oh, Hulk, you still say you can wrestle? Of course I can wrestle, brother. Cool, talk to Kenta. And he walks up to Kenta and he's like, of course I can wrestle. Before he finishes his sentence, he just gets slapped in the face gently.
It would be incredible.
I'm basically Hogan looking, like blinking, looking at himself and going, I'm going to go relax. Like, I'm going to be old and just kind of walk away. Because, you know, he thinks he can still wrestle because he needs to see that someone, without really hurting him, can prove to him that he's not in the right shape. You know, and it's scary because anyone else, like, you're like, oh, yeah, have Daniel Bryan put him in the yes lock just so gingerly. Nope, that'd kill him. You know, like, people don't understand. Like, it's like, oh, just have someone, you know, give him a leg sweep. That would kill him. Like, if anyone doesn't understand how much...
Kill him. I'm thinking about
it. If anyone doesn't understand how bad this is, go check out... This was 3 years ago, by the way. And I know he's had surgery since then, but surgeries don't usually mean... Surgeries means you're better to live. You'd know more. But surgeries mean, the surgery that you just had, you're good in the living thing. You're not good in the you can be a professional wrestler again immediately thing,
yeah,
right?
It's sort of like a let's not try that again thing, speaking from my own experience.
Yes, exactly.
Like, let's not
do that. Right, so
he's
had
live.
Surgeries. He's had surgeries, but if you still want to think about this, in 2011, Hulk Hogan had a match in TNA, Bound for Glory with Sting. I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. This actually happened? I thought Hulk Hogan stopped wrestling. No, don't you worry. There's a place called TNA, possibly run in an alternate dimension. Possibly made by... I'm purely convinced whenever you turn on TNA and you see who they've hired, that you know how we've made jokes about WWE fooling Vince McMahon with video game footage?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking someone's trying to fool us with video game footage. Like, nope, I saw it. That was a glitch in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's a framing error. This is a game from the future that looks like TV does now. Because some of the people you've seen on there, because yes, Hulk Hogan fought Sting. Bound for Glory, 2011. Look it up. It was... I can't even describe it. You have to look at it yourself, and you'll possibly hate yourself. If you hate yourself... I said this to Satish. If you hate yourself as much as you say that you do, watch the
match. Which I do. And I have.
Thanks. That's the thing. Yeah, he already has seen the match, so I went, perfect, Satish. I love you. Thank you. But that's how it is. So... Please understand, if you're sitting there thinking Hulk Hogan can still work a match and not die, watch that match. Hulk Hogan, Sting, Bound for Glory, TNA, 2011. And you'll understand that Hulk Hogan can't even do the basic things like falling.
I know what you mean, but hearing it described in that way sounds so bad.
Because in 2011, I think Sting did something to him. I forgot what it was because I think I've already burned the match like out of my memory. Like I've deleted it from my hard drive, internal. But what happened was he did something that involved Hogan having to fall on his back on the ground. And the only way to describe it is he fell gingerly.
Which is saying something.
Hulk Hogan fell to the ground. So whenever, and if you hear someone in your life saying, oh, if Hulk Hogan falls Cena, all he would have to do is take one AA, stop that person. And make them understand that if Cena put him in the STF, Hogan may have to be pulled out of there in a stretcher because of his leg.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yeah, anyway, thank you guys for listening to those guys. I don't think we have much else to say because we're done. Happy birthday, Hulk Hogan. You're one year closer to still not wrestling. Yeah, we just did so much. Thank you guys for listening. And, of course, we mentioned before the, you know, the whole archive thing, Facebook, Twitter, Gmail.
Yeah, if you're listening to us to this point, I'm actually, you should send us something specific because, like, wow, man. Wow.
Send us something specific. Oh, actually, you should.
So we know.
Like,
know.
No, yeah, just email us, and we'll thank you personally.
Actually, you know what? You let me know what I played to end us out with, and I'll know that you listened to the whole goddamn thing.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. But for right now, though, what are we going to...
Thank you guys for listening to No Job.